United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned.
That is Salem.
Football. We cover Salem Quaker football from the opening whistle to the final play of each game. Salem Quaker football. Brought to you by Hex Steering Company, Trap Insurance, Fred's Family Pharmacy, A Good Neighbor Pharmacy, Kent State University at Salem and East Liverpool, The Barge, Salem Tire, and the U.S. Army. Salem Quaker football. Friday nights only on News Talk 600 WSOM. Welcome to Tracy and Friends, weekdays from 9 to noon, the show that stimulates your mind on the issues of the day. Call the show at 347-945-5229 or toll-free at 1-800-530-WSOM. That's 347-945-5229 or 1-800-530-WSOM. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Good morning and welcome to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600, the number 347-945-5229. Welcome to Tracy and Friends, and it is 8 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock here on the 16th of, on the 16th of September. I hope I did this right yesterday. Oh, my God. But if not, I'm still here. Hey, guys, we're here, we're on, and everything is good. I got Jeff in studio with me, and I want to thank him for holding down the fort on yesterday. I feel like I've been gone so long. I've been gone. I mean, I've done two football games since I saw you last, Jeffrey.
Yeah. We talked to you. What's going on?
Your mic's not on. You know, you have to turn that up on your side. I'm up on my side.
Oh, you know what?
I can't help that.
I can't count.
two. That's one. I can't help you on this side.
Check one,
there
check two.
Very good, very good. I went to two football contests over the weekend, and I had a wonderful time at both, and both of them won. I was very, very pleased with that.
Oh, yeah. Why she won?
Why she won. Coach Wolford did a wonderful job,
yeah.
And I would have to say I enjoyed watching the Penguins. They're doing a great job this year, so I'm very, very proud of them. And then on Sunday I went to see the Brownies. And, I love the Steelers, but I ain't mad at the Brownies.
You can't be mad at the Brownies. The Brownies are playing good ball.
It was a good game.
Good game.
I mean, I was talking to somebody last night. I want to say thank you to Lance Minifield, Minifield. He orchestrated a collaboration. He wanted to honor people who are hidden in our community, educators and community activists and communications people, and he wanted to honor them, and so he put together an event last evening at the Canton Pro Football Hall of Fame. And it and I was one of the recipients of a reward. And I have to be perfectly honest, I didn't know what I was walking into because I didn't know who he was.
Uh-huh.
And a woman by the name of DeBert Cook, who is originally from here, who lives in New York.
Me and DeBert played in a band together.
I didn't know that. And
yeah.
She called me and said, listen, we want to honor you. And I'm like, okay, whatever. And send me your bio and some pictures. And so I sent her my bio and pictures. And if you guys don't know me, I'm not good at that. And so I didn't know what I sent her. And I got there, and I'm like, oh, my God, I have no idea what I sent this woman. Because I really, that's just me. It might be a bad thing, but it's just me. And it was a phenomenal dinner. Their recipients from the Mahoning Valley alone, I think there were seven of us. Reuben Shaw III, and I'm so proud of him. Young man, 24 years old, he wants to be a landscape architect. He actually is working on his master's degree as he's interning in Akron.
Okay.
And Deborah Benton.
Send it to my house.
You want me to practice at your house?
Yes.
Okay. Deborah Benton, who is a TV personality. She's had her own show called The Deborah Benton Show in the Valley Gold. You had Derek Toles, and he has inspiring minds, and Derek has been doing some great things over in the Warren area, and I think he's trying to move here to the Youngstown area. Good guy. And there was also Milton Ruffin. Dr. Milton Ruffin from the east side. I'm from the east side of Youngstown. He's from the Sharon line, and he works down in Columbus. He does a lot for Ohio State University. He's an adjunct professor down there. He also is a principal of a school down in Columbus, and he is a great musician. And he also got honored, and I happened to be with him, and that was just a pleasure to be with him. I love him so much.
Wait a minute.
He didn't even recognize me. I guess it's been 35 years.
It's been a long time. Listen.
What?
Milton.
He's a bad boy.
Him and his brother were just starting out. I forgot the name of the little group they had, but they liked me, and they came to me. Mr. Green, we would like it so much. And I'm only 4 years older than Mr. Green, okay? So I was out of school then. I was out of school, and they were still in high school or junior high. Would you help us with our band? And they were pretty good. I mean, they weren't terrible. I mean, they were good,
for
young kids. This boy is off the hizzy now, okay?
He plays the upright bass.
He plays all the basses. He plays a keyboard.
Yeah.
Milton is killing out here.
Yeah.
And I didn't get a chance to play with him.
And he's an educator. He is a principal of a school. He's all about education. He's
minister
all about
of music at his church.
Yeah, he does it all. He has a wonderful wife.
Mm-hmm.
And let me see. I'm missing somebody, Jeff. You messed up my flow. See?
I'm sorry.
I can't go. That's just too many people. And if you go to my Facebook page, I'm hoping that I'm going to send this picture to the Vindicator. I hope it doesn't look too bad. Also, Jamie Fortune. Jamie Fortune is over on the south side of Youngstown. And
mm-hmm.
for the civic work that he does, he was also honored. And I think that's it. Oh, and Cleveland King. Cleveland King
uh-huh.
the third. He was also honored. I don't know. Cleveland's on that south side, too, I believe. And he was also honored for the work that he does. And it was a very, very, very nice event. There were people from – it was a regional thing. They were from Youngstown. They were from Akron. They were from Warren. They were from Cleveland. Boomer, who is the anchor there in Cleveland, he was the MC. And it was just a phenomenal time, and so I want to say thank you to that. I brought this up on yesterday, and I guess I might as well start this now because I have issues. I'm going to take a break in a little while, and when I take my break, when I come back, I've got to talk about child abuse. I am sick of this, and I want folks, we're going to have a hardcore conversation, and I may say some things that are insulting to people, but sorry, you're going to have to just get over it because I have issues. And we're going to have to talk about some cultural issues. We're going to have to talk about some other things because I want you guys to know Adrian Peterson wasn't trying to kill his child, and a switch going to make a whelp, and it's going to heal. Don't even worry about it. Well, we will get to that. First, I want to talk about I went to see the Cleveland Browns on Sunday, and I had a great time. And I sit there, and while you're watching the football game, I'm doing a lot of things, and I'm doing things like counting the NFL money. I know how you work. I'm counting the money. I'm counting the heads. I'm counting the seats. I'm looking at the arena. I'm looking at the advertising. I'm looking at the media. I'm looking at the television time. I'm looking at the radio. I'm looking at what's on the field. I'm looking at the dog running around the court. I'm looking at the kids down there. I'm looking at how people pay to go down and stand on the field and watch them warm up. They pay to stand on the field.
Right.
On the sideline. To watch them warm up. And I'm looking at all this. I'm looking at the box seats. I'm looking at, you know, football, how professional football and what they're doing and how they do. I'm watching this and I'm counting it up. And I'm like, wow, this is an industry. I'm like, I missed something. I got to figure out a way to get in here.
Uh-huh.
And during this time, I was sitting in a section and I looked around. And African-Americans are there. But when you have 68,000 seats, you're really not. And then I began to look at, well, it's $60 per person per seat for a decent seat, maybe. So, and then I have to tell you guys, concessions, they don't let you take bags into the arena, the arenas anymore. So you can't do the movie bag. So you can't take the popcorn and the soda and the sandwich in the lunch bag anymore.
No.
Unless it's plastic. I mean, if you've got a plastic bag, you might be able to work it out. But
plastic is explosive, can't carry it.
They don't want you to have, you can't take no coolers. You can't take nothing. So, and the seats are packed. I want you to know the seats in the arena, you know, are in there like the new airplanes.
Hey, Tracy.
So if you are double wide, you're going to have to buy double seats. You guys know, there are some men out there who are pretty, there are some big boys out there, and they take up some space. And I had a guy in front of me, and he squeezed in that seat, and I was like, oh, my God, I don't think he's going to make it out of the seat. Because he was a big boy. And his shoulder, I mean, you could tell he was an ex-football player. His shoulders were as broad as three or four people, and he was trying to sit down, and they pack you in there like sardines, nevertheless. So let me get to my point. The point is I was looking at the diversity. Now, there are a lot of women in the football right now. There are lots of women there. I don't know if they were with their boyfriends, their husbands, their men, whatever. Lots of women. Lots of crazy people. They dress up in anything. They spray stuff. They just special. They out there in the football, they do just brownies and they spray their head and they look crazy and they wear pads and it's hot. The sun is hot and they look just like, wow. But that's okay. But then I begin to look at the diversity again when it, and you have to excuse me, I'm African American and people don't always believe that, but I am, and I tend to relate things to how can I be more inclusive and make sure that people that look like me are more represented. And I looked down at the field, and there is a great diverse football team. You've got white, black. Because of their talent, they'll take an Eskimo from China because, you know, they want the talent. It is what it is. It is a game of efficiency and of talent, and they'll pay for that. And so we're watching these guys play. The team is very diverse. The only thing they don't have down there is a woman.
Yeah.
If they give them a break, they may make that happen.
Not even the women on the sidelines.
No.
They got sports people.
Yeah, you got sports people, but
yeah.
I'm talking about in the team.
Uh-huh.
You don't have any women down there. You don't have any women coaches.
No.
It's okay. I'm a man. I mean, I'm okay with that. I'm not trying to be, you know, superwoman. I'm not trying to be, you know, feminize the game. I don't think that's a good thing. Actually, I don't even think women reporters belong in the locker room. That is not where they belong. That's just my personal opinion. But I do not want – I would not want to be one of those women, and I don't think a woman belongs in the men's locker room, bottom line. Nevertheless. But then I began to look at the drum line. And I said to, you know, the drum line, I looked, and they was hitting it. And I want you guys to know I'm a big percussionist fan.
Okay.
I love percussion. I love drums. My mother wouldn't let me play because I was a girl.
Uh-huh.
And at that time, girls didn't play drums. She wasn't having it because she gave me a flute. She should have gave me a drum. I need a drum. I need something to hit. And I looked, and the drum line, they were doing a very good job. And they're like a part of the sideline motivation, because I didn't see any Brownie cheerleaders. I didn't see none of that. I don't know where they are. I don't know if you guys, Jeff, you got cheerleaders?
I didn't see any cheerleaders. And, you know, and
I never had cheerleaders?
I don't remember us having cheerleaders.
Well, we need to set up a cheerleading line. But I noticed the drum line didn't have any diversity. And because I love HBCUs, which are historically black colleges, I tend to, you know, when you go to a HBCU football game or the classics, you don't go for the game. You go for the halftime show.
Uh-huh.
You go for the band. You go for the music. You don't go for the game. That's not what you go to black college football games for. That's not what they don't do that.
Right.
Because all the recruits have sucked the Big Tens and the big colleges have already sucked the talent out of it before the HBCUs can get there.
Uh-huh.
So they just have football players and they look like high school ball.
Sure.
And I looked at the drum line, Jeff, and there were no African Americans. There were women on the drum line, and she was playing a little cymbal thing. And I said, okay, But there were no blacks. There were no African-Americans on the drum line. And we're talking about in Cleveland. And this is not Youngstown. This is not a small town.
Do you know what Cleveland is?
No.
Do you know that really you're not welcome if you're an African-American over on the west side of Cleveland? You know that that is just so, it's just like how it used to be here in certain areas. It's not as bad here as it used to be in the Youngstown area. But in Cleveland, Cleveland is very, very prejudiced. That's why when the sports teams were a certain way, they had three phenomenal black quarterbacks and never played them. Why? Because the fan base in Cleveland would not really support that a certain way.
But let me say this, Jeff.
Hey, Jeff.
Good morning, Eric.
Good morning, Tracy. Good morning, Jeff. Yeah, but that is true. I mean, you look at East Cleveland, you look at Cleveland, Glenville, those are all on the east side. But they're very good programs, though.
Very good. And if you get in somewhere, you're in, because they'll get somebody they trust. But at the same time, it's really something.
But this is my issue. This is where I'm having a major problem, Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't diversify, because you have to realize, if football is Americans' pastime. And I know we have a different culture, and when I come back from my break, we're going to talk about this Adrian Peterson thing. I got some issues with the discipline and the judgment that I hear people calling because they said he's going to play on Sunday. I have a problem with this, and see, this is where the rubber's going to meet the road with me. That's why I don't have children, because I would be in jail because I control everything in my house, and if you can't be controlled, you have to go.
I told Jeff a joke yesterday. I said, what's a six-letter word for a large stem?
Switch. You know, I should have a. I'm going to get there, but I got to go back to my drum line. I know that we have African Americans who beat drums because I've gone to places and we have African American drummers. Now I don't know if it's because they didn't go and didn't know and didn't try out, if it was not welcome to them, if they tried out they were not good enough, and or if they were just excluded. But I have major issue, and I'm quite sure that I like to take a tour of all the NFL teams and go to all of their arenas and watch them play to see if I see the same thing.
Right.
But I want you to know I was very, very disheartened when I looked and I said, wow. When I look at the grounds, when I look at the floor, when I look at the guys who are running the balls for the guys on the sidelines, I didn't see any people that looked like me. I didn't see any young people looking like me. Yes, sir?
I mean, Tracy, you look at Ted Ginn, the head coach of Cleveland Glenville. I mean, I find it very disheartening that he hasn't been offered a coaching staff position at Cleveland. He's a legend.
I don't understand.
Well, I don't know why you don't understand.
I don't understand. Because I don't understand why there's no outcry. You see, I look at Ferguson, Missouri, and I watch people be like boo-boo the shoe.
Me, boo-boo the fool.
I said boo-boo the shoe.
I heard what you said.
And I've watched them do stuff that is not substantial. And I'm not saying that the young man's life is not valuable, but it was premature, the outrage, because you didn't know anything.
Right.
And you still don't. If there's misconduct, we need to go after that also. Don't get me. That's what I'm
right,
asking.
Right, right, right.
We need to go after misconduct on every level. I'm with you on that. But I have a major problem when you see things and you are looking at things and you're enjoying them. You're enjoying them every day.
Mm-hmm.
And you're still not saying anything. You want to go after this young man by the name of Rice.
Yep, Ray Rice.
But you don't
kill him forever.
You don't know the whole situation behind anything. And as I said to some people over the weekend, they're like, I said, listen, there was a spitting contest. You got to understand, something is wrong. I have been extremely upset. I have been mad. I have almost spit fire. But the last thing I've ever spit was spit on anyone, no matter how mad I've been. And I can honestly say I don't believe anyone has ever been bold enough to spit on me. I don't understand when you
I've never spit. Been spit on.
I don't understand with the spit contest and then the hit contest. you don't know what they were spitting. You don't know what was going on there. So until we know better, we can't do better. And we have, again, done something that I think is premature. So when I look at this, but when you go to a ball game and you see everybody around, when you go to a basketball game and everybody around the players don't look like you, then you ought to say, well, one of these things is not like the other.
Right. Something one of these wrong. Things are not like the other. Can you tell me which thing just doesn't belong?
That's not the song.
I have to.
You got the wrong.
Before I finish
no,
the song.
No, that's the wrong. You got that wrong, Jeff.
Sesame Street.
That's the wrong. That's the wrong. That's the wrong melody.
You said one of these things is not like the other.
I know, but that's the wrong melody for the song.
How you gonna tell a musician what the wrong melody to a Sesame Street song is, huh?
Because you wasn't a kid when you.
I was a kid.
You wasn't a kid when Sesame Street was on. You was a
grown
man.
I was on when Sesame Street came on TV.
Listen, Jeff,
you was a grown man. I'm taking a break.
Over.
I'll be right back.
What?
Another circle.
Hello, Susan.
How are you?
Good. Got some circles here.
Yeah?
One's different. One of these things is not like the other.
One of these things doesn't belong.
Can you tell which thing is not like the other? By the time we finish our song.
I'm thinking about this.
Are you thinking?
Look
carefully.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
Concerned about your health? Confused about the amount of prescription drugs you are taking? Wondering which vitamins to take? Call Dr. Matt Mason, board-certified wellness physician as well as a chiropractor at Mason Wellness Center. Dr. Mason combines nutritional therapy, functional medicine, and chiropractic services to keep people healthy and get those of you that are ill feeling better faster. Mason Wellness Center is located on Layer Road in Warren, Ohio. To make an appointment or to receive additional info, call our office at 330-219.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingly Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingly offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingly, it's not clean. Kingly Hand Wash and Wax.
Fit Family. Unique. Individualized. And promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Venus, Secrets of Grace, producers of skin and hair care products suitable for all ages, made from organic olive oil and aloe vera herbs, vitamins, and essential oils. Go to venussecrets.us.
I'm Harper Keegan with your headline news. On Friday, ODOT will reopen all eastbound lanes of Route 224 in Boardman near Interstate 680. Drivers, keep in mind there may be lane closures over the coming weeks because there's some construction work that hasn't wrapped up. Walmart has a Facebook contest going on for food pantries across the country. It's giving $60,000 to 50 food banks around the country that get the most votes. As of last night, the Second Harvest Food Bank of the Mahoning Valley was in fifth place with 255 votes. The executive director says they need the money desperately to feed 6,000 to 8,000 residents each month in the valley. You may vote once every 24 hours through October 5th. And police in Boardman are searching for a man who they say stole about $1,000 worth of razor blades and diapers. It happened around 4 p.m. Thursday at the Giant Eagle on Canfield Road. The man is described as in his 30s with dark hair and about 5'7", driving a silver Hummer with black rims. For WSOM News, I'm Harper Keegan.
Kent State University at Salem and East Liverpool offers 27 degrees, so there must be something for you. Like playing in dirt, climbing trees, being outdoors? Consider a degree in horticulture. Like caring for people. We have nursing, radiology, psychology, education, physical or occupational therapy, human services, criminal justice. We have degrees in accounting, business, computers, insurance, and more. Take classes online or in the classroom. Take classes you can afford. Call 1-877-KENT-EDU. Kent State, Salem and East Liverpool. You belong here.
We're back with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600.
Amoosh, will you do the fandango? Thunderbolt and lightning, very, very frightening me.
Galileo,
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 Galileo
Figaro.
I'm just a poor boy, nobody loves me.
He's just a poor boy from a poor family, sparing his life from this one cottage.
Easy come, easy go. Let me go.
Let me go. Okay. Hi, this is Miss Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. I'm talking to Jeff, and I was talking about diversity in the NFL. And I'm just saying, I'm bringing up things that I think that we need to go after, because unless you have inclusion, unless you have a way to have access, then you don't have anything. And what's happening is there is a there's a segregation of diversity and lack of access. And when you don't have access, if you can't see what's going on around you, if you can't feel what's going on around you, then you're not participating in it. You have no idea where to go, where to dream, how to learn. You can't do that. And when we talk about the civil rights movement with Martin Luther King, again, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. It's 33 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock here on the 16th.
We're good at doing that these days. You know that.
Oh, yeah.
Getting it in.
I got to get it in. But I want you to know that this is, when we look at diversity, if you want a better life, if you want to coexist, if you want to have inclusion, if you want people to cohabitate, if you want people to become a part of the American fabric, then you've got to let them in. Because if you don't let them in, they will always be excluded. And exclusivity does not make you inclusive. And that's a problem. And I'm talking about the NFL, but when I worked for the Lakers, it was the same way.
Mm-hmm.
There's no diversity, and just because you got black people on the field does not make it diverse.
No,
those are what you call the commodity. The players are the commodity, but you need to have other people that are around this commodity to support them. You ought to find doctors, and you ought to find people on the drum line. We had a hard time getting cheerleaders for a very, very long time.
Well, you have to look into what that drum line is about. First of all, you don't know where it came from, and so that had to be something.
I don't care if it came from the moon.
When did we get our first all-black drum line? You know, I'm being facetious, because I think that what's happening here is you have a reversal of what's going on.
But the Atlanta Hawks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he said, I've got my team, everything is too black around here.
Well,
and people got mad at him because he told the truth. You can't have, this is not all black. This is not all white. This is about inclusive. This is about diversity. This is about making sure everything looks like the America that we are. And I say this, when you have too many weighted, even in your politics, if it's weighted too big, left or right, it's unbalanced.
Right.
And anything that's unbalanced is not good for you.
I understand, but like I said, once again, you have to take
take what
take things into consideration.
Like what? They couldn't find a black drummer that as a
No, player. I don't know where whose drum line that was.
Okay, still.
That might have been from what's the Lake community out
Westlake.
Westlake. It might have been the Westlake drum line.
Okay, let me say this. I'm gonna tell y'all a
And
story.
They may not be there every
Can
day.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
My mama said black folks are like a cockroaches.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't get away. You know why? Because we go everywhere. We are everywhere. And let me say this. I understand that it may be a school that's in an all-white district and they don't have but one black person in the whole district, but then there's a problem right there. But that's a whole other issue. But but I'm just saying, because it was more than just that. The guys on the sidelines, your support staff,
mm-hmm.
There has to be more than just coaches. Your back office. You know, the people that you don't see. Your physician's team.
Mm-hmm.
And your trainers.
Well, here's something that needs to happen. Now, you're right. Because that is the Cleveland Browns drum line.
That's what they say.
Uh-huh. And so, once again, they're going to do this every home game.
Right.
Somebody ought to pull their coat right now, and if I were you, I'd go ahead and make an official call to the front office.
I'm just saying. I don't understand.
Don't you have somebody?
Yeah, I do.
I guess.
But I'm just saying. And but my issue is, we have people who are looking at things that you don't know anything about, but you know this one. You know this has to change. Because we're there in the stands, and when I look over there, I want to see one little kid looking like me, because we drum too. If you don't believe it, we're pretty good at it.
Yeah,
don't get it twisted. We're pretty good at the drum thing, and I'm just saying, I'm going to segue this way. There is a cultural diversity that comes with African Americans with people. There is. We are different, and because we speak English, does not mean our culture is the same as European Americans, because it's not.
Mm-hmm.
Please understand that. But when it comes to disciplining our children, people need to let me discipline my child as I see fit. Now, if I hit him with a brick, but my mama tried to hit me with a shoe.
Right.
Thank God I ducked, because there's a hole in the wall to this day from I ducking and the shoe hitting the wall and not hitting me. And I probably deserved a shoe, because I don't know what I did. But, I, you know, she wasn't – my mama loved me, but I was, you know – that's a piece of work. I still am.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But right now I have, and I'm going to tell the story, then I'm going to open up the phone lines. But I have a girl that I met not long ago, and her son, I guess he was about 7 years old, 8 years old, and the teacher called crying to her about her son and that he had done something in school that hurt her so bad. And the teacher was crying, boo-hooing all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
So she said, send him home and I'll take care of it. She sent him home. She whipped his behind. Now, she's only about 110 pounds all wet.
Right.
This young boy is going to turn into a man whether you like it or not. She sent him home, and when he went back the next day, he had a whelp. The same teacher that called her crying called Children's Services.
Yep.
She went under investigation. And her son is in juvenile right now and is headed on his way to prison. You've got to understand, I need to correct the child that came out of me my way. Now, if I abuse a child to where he's bleeding from his eyes, you need to ask him what he did before you start making judgment. Because it is up to a parent to correct the child. Now, I don't want to sound disparaging, but if you white people can get away with timeout, that works for your kids. Time out. But that wouldn't work for me. My mama could have timed me out until time out was no more time. And I still was I was too headstrong.
One of my cousins and I were talking a couple of weeks ago. And we were talking about how our grandfather, he had this broken conveyor belt off of the washing machine. Just like a conveyor belt that goes around your alternator or something on your car. And we called it the Mighty Blow. and we called our grandfather Popo. And if he caught us doing something, He sneak up behind us and whack us on our behinds or legs with that thing in a minute.
Just listen.
Listen.
If we didn't have correction, do you know where we would be?
I know where I would
be. Understand where
listen.
We would be?
Yes. I know where I would be. Because I'm just...
But I wasn't too far from it with correction.
That's what I'm trying to tell you. Because in certain things, and I'm not telling you that I have to be beat or anything like that. Because I didn't like to get a beat.
And since I didn't like getting beat, I didn't do... I thought, you know, it made me think before I did something. But don't want to do that.
Exactly. It also made me think, look...
Fear of mom.
We have to fear this.
No.
We're not going to be out in the open with some craziness or acting a fool out in public because we're going to get killed if we do.
And there's nothing wrong with a healthy fear.
Right.
A healthy fear.
Oh.
But they're going after this young man called Adrian.
Adrian Peterson.
And he was 4 years old. It was a switch. And I'm quite sure the switch looked, the welts of a switch, they hurt. They look worse than they are. Do they sting? Absolutely.
Uh-huh.
But they're meant to sting. What'd you say, Eric?
I said, plus not only that, nobody even knows what the little boy did. He must have did something for his father before he could do that.
I read it. They were playing a video game, and he and his brothers or somebody, they got to fighting. And Adrian told them, y'all need to cut that out, and they got to really fighting each other. And so, and I guess the young man was bullying him or doing something, and he spanked him. Because in certain households, fighting is not allowed among fist fighting and doing things is not allowed amongst the family, which is a good thing.
Unless y'all fight. Yeah, it's one thing if y'all out in the street and one of y'all get jumped and you stick up for your brother, but y'all don't.
That's a good thing. But you don't fight each other.
No,
you don't fight each other. And sometimes, and when you're talking about young men, he knows his boys because he was one of them. They came out of him.
Uh-huh.
And we need to pay attention. I sat up this morning and listened to these liberal wackies talking about this man, how he beat his kid, and how they didn't want him to play football on Sunday because he is a child abuser. You would rather for them to go to prison? Because, baby, if you don't correct a child when he's a young boy or a young girl and woman, that's how they end up in institutions. And now you're telling young men who are trying to be fathers to their children, don't be fathers to your children. Let the government raise them. That's the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life.
That's the craziest thing because it is foreign. It is liberal. It is all of that thing because I saw all these people commenting on Ray Rice being a domestic violence abuser person when he has not had any record of that anywhere, anytime, before.
And he was honest when they asked him about it.
He was honest.
He was honest about
him. And then Goodell lied and said, no, he wasn't. And, you know, that's gonna come back on Goodell. I think Goodell's days are numbered with the NFL.
Yes. What do
you say, Eric?
I'm so ticked off about this. I'm ticked off about this because these are two outstanding stand-up guys. They
were
honest, like you said. They told the truth. They didn't deny anything.
And that's, as a matter of fact, Adrian told his girlfriend or his mama's baby mama, he said, I spanked him. So when you see the wolves, I spanked him. For this, do this, and she's the one who turned him in. Now we got another baby mama who he says, well, he spanked my child too. Do you know what? When your child rises up and whips your behind, don't call.
Right.
I just don't understand. I don't understand. And I don't understand how and especially people that are in the African-American community who understand that our children are very, very headstrong. Some children you can talk to. If you yell at them, they'll stop. If you put them in a corner, that's all they need. If you put them on punishment, they're good. Not all of them are that way.
Yeah. Now, Tracy, Charles Barkley came out and defended him. But Chris Carter from the Vikings, he was just kind of like, come on, man. He was like more like he was kowtowing to the NFL and the media than anybody else. His own, you know.
Well, it's one more time. Feminizing of America is here and creating all of this mess and subterfuge about spanking this, that, and other. You know, this is on purpose.
If he hit him with something that was, you know, too hard, I can understand. But
like a pipe or something.
Yeah, and you know how many switches I tried. My mama said, you go out and get a switch.
We tried to get the lightest switch.
It didn't work.
That hurts worse than the big one.
It's got a little whip. And my mom, we had a weeping willow in the backyard.
Oh.
No. No, I'm serious.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. I used to feel sorry for the kids that had a weeping willow tree in the yard.
Oh, God. I'm just thinking about it, and I'm cringing.
I mean, that little thing had a little whip to it. Yeah, I'm serious.
And my father would roll up a belt.
Oh, man.
My father had a hand about the size of my head, and he would roll that belt up around that his hand, and just a little bit of it sticking out. And he'd tell you, assume the position. I'm saying, assume what? I am not assuming nothing. He said, assume the position. And you have to bend over, drop your pants.
And you better not move.
And you better not move. And he would whip your behind for whatever you did. And I thank God my father whipped my behind and drove silliness out of me as a child.
I mean, and I look at the incarceration rate. I look at the lack of responsibility. I look at what is going on and the statistics within the African-American community. When I see this, and, well, why don't you take care of your kids? Why don't men, why they have babies and they don't? And then when they try to, we demonize them. I have problem with this. And even if it was more excessive than you would like to see, the demonization of this young man over trying to discipline his children is absolutely wrong. You don't do that.
Right.
You don't do that. There's a better way to slice this cat, because all you've done is made an example out of him to tell everybody else, if you go after him, I'll come after you. So don't discipline your children. Make them have time out. You put my behind in time out, and I will burn your house down.
I'm not that bad, but I know what you mean.
I'm just saying.
My cousin.
Have you met Bebe's kids?
My cousin was Bebe. Now, he told me, he said, I got it. Yeah, almost every day.
That was always in the South.
That was in the South, because that's what kind of person he is. Now, all of my cousins, they're very intelligent people, and you know, but they were raised in a poor neighborhood for a good while, and then they but they're all very very they're not ignorant people. They're not people who are slow to understanding. They're very smart. They read. They study stuff. And listen, when you have somebody that's smart and aggressive, you have to direct it. If you don't direct it, they will become your criminals. I'll guarantee you. Black, white, yellow, whatever.
And every child must be corrected. And I said this to Stanley, and everybody knows Stanley's against it. But I believe Stanley has been
he thought it was abuse.
There's excessive abuse. But
right.
Those of us who've had loving abuse.
Right.
Because mama.
Loving abuse.
I called my mama. I said, you know, we need to put you in jail. Because, you know, if Adrian got indicted for them little switches, I used to scream so loud that the neighbors down the street would hear me, and then they would call on the phone. 269, your mic is on.
Well, I was going to talk about the switches. Yeah, my mama used to braid her switches together. You ain't got to work with a braided switch.
No, thank God.
I didn't need that one.
And she put tape on both ends.
My God, you had an engineer. That's an engineered switch.
Yeah. You know what she would tell you something? She would say, I'm gonna get you. But she don't tell you when she's gonna whip you. She said, I'm gonna get you. And she might whip you getting out of the tub. You got to whoop you getting out of the tub.
Ooh, that's a bad. Yeah, I've got that one. That's a bad one. You can't move. That's a wet whooping. That's a bad move. You can't get away.
Yeah.
And you stand there, and your legs be going up and down like you're marching. It was a good, but you know, you got the best sleep after your whooping. That was some good sleep. Because you'd be crying.
You better not run.
No. Well, actually, I was a runner. I had to go. Because I didn't do hit. I don't like to get hit. It was a bad thing. But they're demonizing these young African American males right now. And when we talk about Ray Rice, again, no one knows what goes on behind closed doors. Like I said, I've never been in a spitting contest. I've been mad. I can spit fire, but I never spit. And so there's more to that story than meets the eye. And going after him without knowing anything, that which is a bad way to go. And that's just, you just don't, I don't care. And he hit her too hard. Absolutely. He definitely hit her entirely too hard. I'll give y'all that. But there's more than meets the eye.
Hey, I'm going to tell you a story. I had a partner, and he was at a parent-teacher conference. And his son played football. And he must have failed or something and off the monkey bar. Something had a little round spot on his butt, you know, a little bruise. Well, anyway, he was at a parent-teacher conference, and he was talking to one of his son's teachers, and they was talking about disciplining the kids. And he had said that he had told her about him, you know, whooped his son. Well, she never even saw the spot because it was on his butt. When he got to the house, when he left the parent-teacher conference, when he got to the house, the police and the, whatever that government agency, they met him at his house and took his son. They took his son and they examined him, and they saw that little round spot on his butt, which clearly wouldn't come from a whooping. Do you know they took his son and he had to go to court to get his son back?
Yes, sir. That's what I'm saying. I told you this. I was saying that I met a young lady. Her son was about 7 years old. The teacher called her crying. He said, send me home. I'll take care of it. Send him back. He had a whelp on his butt or on his arm or something because he moved or whatever. And when the little boy went back to school, they called Children's Services on it. To this day, she was no longer allowed to discipline him ever again. He knew it. Kids are not stupid. They know when the po-po come after you, I'm free. I'm grown now. I'm emancipated. So now you do what I say. Her son had a life of crime.
You know, the other thing that we have to look at, and that comes from living in another one of the downsides of being in a capitalistic society, is that once a process starts in the system, everybody within that process makes money. So it turns from it's like an opportunity at that point. The prosecutor going to make money, the judge going to make money. So the morality or the feeling sympathy for the parent, all that's out the window. Once it gets into the system, if nothing else, they'll follow it through just for the money's sake. Well, it's the same thing with tickets and things of that nature. And see, that's another one of the downsides of, you know, when a society, everybody in the society is driven by the profit motive. Now, they're just making money.
But let me say this to you, and I don't disagree with you when it comes to, because I said this years ago, the reason why they haven't eradicated drugs is because it makes too much money. And if you were to eradicate it, then there would be the economy of America would go completely down the crapper.
Correct.
That's what has kept us buoyant through this downfall here.
And the problem is, but the problem is we don't realize that we are the commodity and we allow ourselves to walk into that meal. And that goes back to what I talked about when I said about football and inclusion. Yeah, Eric, go ahead.
Yeah, I hate to make these little stories go political, but you look at the media aspect of it and the way they're pushing these stories, it's very, very convenient that the midterm elections are right around the corner. Then they'll start bombarding you with political ads every 5 minutes. It's just, I don't know. You got to look at that fact. I mean, nowadays, everything is political.
Oh, absolutely. Let me say this. And they need to, right now, let me say this. Right now, the conversation needs to change to something fluffy because the stuff that's really serious, they don't want you to be looking at. Because Manny, Moe, and Jack have no clue what they're doing in D.C.
And guess what? It's on all sides because they want power, nothing else. That's when these people are talking about, you know, my party's for the working man or my party is for this, that, and another. That may be so in their writings of their, platforms, and you have some of the followers that are like this, but the hierarchy is doing nothing but power brokering and power grabbing. That's what this is all about. It is not about you, the people, or else they would never tax the living daylights out of you. You know, our taxes just went up like 35% because of ACA. Did you know that? Written into the law were increases in the payroll tax that went from 38% to 55%.
Speaking of which, and I'm walking up to a break, so I'm gonna take a break in just a second.
I'm ready.
Did you see Nancy Pelosi yesterday?
I saw Nancy Pelosi.
She's on a media tour right now,
mm-hmm.
And she said that no one has ever treated the president like you guys have treated President Barack Obama.
Oh no, no.
And she's never treated a president like she's treated President Barack Obama either. And it's true.
I heard that.
This is a game they're playing with us, and it is. And Eric, you're right. It's politics.
Yeah,
you know, Michigan. It's capitalism. But the question is, you don't have to be a part of it if you step away from it, and we won't do that.
Well, this is true. I agree with you.
You don't have to be a participant. But see, I know we got a dingbat running for governor, and he's gonna win in my county.
I do.
That's the craziest thing I've ever seen.
You know what? I don't know about Trumbull.
Oh yeah, Trumbull gonna go.
But you know it's ridiculous because they see things. You know, I had a fight with a guy trying to show him how. Yes, we faltered on some months where we've dropped and lost some jobs, but by and large, we're still leading the country in manufacturing jobs in the country. Nobody's doing that. When you have policies that help create money and wealth, that's what you need. You don't need to have something that just takes from your tax base and gives away. That's why you have 92 million people out of work.
But you got to understand that, Jeff, and you're talking about something that we don't understand. That's not true. We don't educate people on that. We don't want you to know that. That's none of your business. I'll tell you what I want you to know because you're not to think on your own. Thinking on your own is bad for your health. I'm serious. Listen, I'm going to take my break. It's the top of the hour. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. We'll see you on the other side.
This is Tracy and Friends. Listen to Tracy every weekday from 9 a.m. to noon on News Talk 600. Visit our website for more info about Tracy and Friends at www.tracyandfriends.com. That's T-R-A-C-E-Y and friends.com. Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600.
You have deep-rooted fear of the unknown. You get squeamish when you hear noises in the night. Cold sweat breaks out on your forehead when you walk past strangers. And are superstitious about cats crossing your path. Don't even think about All Hallows Eve when ghosts, goblins, and witches come out. Oh, the truth is you love to be scared. And this year we're helping you get scared for half the price with our half-off haunts. On sale September 15th. Visit Sweet Deals on our website for half-off haunt specials like...
It's three haunts in one. Ah! We're going to scare the hell out of you at Hell's Hollow Haunt. Walk through three levels of the Bloody Bard. Take a ride on the haunted hay wagon of horror. And walk through the frightening Field of Corn. Located on Bestwick Road, one of the creepiest spots in Mercer County. Come out and see us. The legend of Hell's Hollow lives on.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. The home for afternoons with Tracy and Friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
ABC News, I'm Richard Davies. As the administration ramps up the U.S. military involvement in the Middle East, anti-war protesters this morning disrupted a Senate hearing.
Would you please now leave? I'm asking you to please leave.
You're acting very warlike yourself. Would you please leave?
Carl Levin, chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee. Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel is now testifying about plans to train and arm non-extremist Syrian rebels to battle ISIS, as well as the Syrian government.
The Defense Department's civilian and military leaders are in complete agreement that the United States and our allies and partners must take action against ISIL, and that the president's strategy is the right approach.
That's Secretary Hagel. The Obama administration says arming rebels is needed to accompany U.S. airstrikes against ISIS fighters who've seized large parts of Iraq and Syria. More relief for motorists, more money in their pockets with falling gas prices. Here's ABC's Alex Stone.
It was only a few months ago many of us were complaining because gas prices were so high, but now they've taken a nice dip. In fact, nationwide, drivers are paying 14 cents less for each gallon of regular unleaded than they were at this time last year. In the past week, prices across the country have dropped 5 cents to $3.41 a gallon. Along the Gulf Coast, drivers are paying only $3.17 a gallon on average now. Alex Stone, ABC News.
1 week after very heavy rains flooded parts of the Southwest, another big storm system expected to move in. Leftovers from Hurricane Odile. That could mean more flooding.
We got to come out here before that happens and get it done.
Phoenix resident Daryl Turner, who's sandbagging his home. President Obama traveling this morning to the Centers for Disease Control in Atlanta. He'll talk about plans to fight back against Ebola. This is ABC News.
Let's talk for a moment about owning gold. We all know that the federal government can print more dollars, but they will never be able to print more gold. That's why Americans like you are adding precious metals to their retirement accounts to improve their purchasing power. Our friends at American Bullion have created a comprehensive free gold guide packed with unbiased information about how easy it is to add physical gold and silver to your IRA or former 401k. They have a precise, tax-free, and hassle-free system that can convert portions of your existing IRA or former 401k into a gold IRA. It's all spelled out in the free gold guide written in plain and simple English. American Bullion makes owning gold fast and easy. It takes as little as 10 minutes on the phone to get the facts about owning gold. Call 800-429-5844. 800-429-5844. Be sure and ask for that free gold guide. Call 800-429-5844.
New medical study out today touting the health benefits of breastfeeding. It's not just good for babies, but also for new moms. ABC's Karen Chase.
Researchers at UC Davis say their evidence suggests it protects mothers by reducing their risk of heart disease, the leading killer of women. And the longer moms breastfed, the bigger the benefit. Women who breastfed for 7 to 12 months reduced the risks of other things, too, including high blood pressure and cholesterol and diabetes. Scientists recommend hospitals adopt policies to promote it, including letting babies stay in their mom's rooms 24 hours a day. Karen Chase, ABC News.
A House panel raising questions about the ability of the government's auto safety agency to keep the public safe as cars become more complex. The panel's report decided that the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration should have discovered the faulty ignition switches in GM cars 7 years before the company recalled 2.6 million cars. This is ABC News.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Do you find yourself constantly tired?
Do you have pain, migraine headaches, or digestive upsets? Or you just feel like your immune system is weak? Call Dr. Matt Mason at Mason Wellness. 330-219-6250 or visit our website at masonwellness.com.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our Crisis Stabilization Unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
The world is full of cars. Therefore, the world is full of car insurance quotes. Safe Auto gets it. No conditions to save, only the right car insurance for the right price. Never more insurance for a more price. Safe Auto. Call, click, and enjoy the road ahead.
Venus, Secrets of Grace. Producers of skin and hair care products suitable for all ages. Made from organic olive oil and aloe vera herbs, vitamins, and essential oils. Go to venussecrets.us.
Broadcasting from the Ford Studios, Ford Edge has a panoramic Vista roof standard and available sync technology, so it's ready for your next driving adventure. See your local Ford dealer or visit drive1ohio.com.
Let's talk for a moment about owning gold. We all know that the federal government can print more dollars, but they will never be able to print more gold. That's why Americans like you are adding precious metals to their retirement accounts to improve their purchasing power. Our friends at American Bullion have created a comprehensive free gold guide packed with unbiased information about how easy it is to add physical gold and silver to your IRA or former 401k. They have a precise, tax-free, and hassle-free system that can convert portions of your existing IRA or former 401k into a gold IRA. It's all spelled out in the free gold guide written in plain and simple English. American Bullion makes owning gold fast and easy. It takes as little as 10 minutes on the phone to get the facts about owning gold. Call 800-429-5844. 800-429-5844. Be sure and ask for that free gold guide. Call 800-429-5844.
If Barack Obama had been president instead of Ronald Reagan during the Reagan term, do you think the Soviet Union would have been defeated? Of course not, because Reagan had his head screwed on right.
Weekdays from 6 to 9 p.m. on News Talk 600 WSOM. Welcome to Tracy and Friends, weekdays from 9 to noon. The show that stimulates your mind on the issues of the day. Call the show at 347-945-5229 or toll free at 1-800-530-WSOM. That's 347-945-5229 or 1-800-530-WSOM. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Hey, you're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600 at the number 347-945-5229. Jeff and I are here in studio. It's 10 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock, and I hope you're having a good day. I'm sitting here, and I've got some things on my mind because I just have a problem with the emasculation of people that I get in trouble for saying this, but you know, people need to understand that when they rape you of your dignity, they rape you of your future and your community. And you see them doing this on an ongoing basis. And when I say that, I'm talking about I was talking about Ray Rice. I was talking about Adrian Peterson. Something, and don't get me wrong. I don't condone. I do not condone. What is that? I do not condone domestic violence. I don't think women should be. That's got to be Eric. I do not condone domestic violence. I do not condone people getting beat. I do not condone any of that. I stand firm by that. I don't get beat, and I think we ought to educate women and men, and men, and men, and men, and the male species, because they get beat too. Don't get it twisted. And for some reason, why? No one wants to acknowledge that. It's a travesty.
It is.
No one wants to acknowledge about males getting beat.
No, they don't believe it.
But it's true, and it's kind of hard for a man at 220, and 6 foot, calling, "Come on, my wife beat me."
Yeah, he get laughed at before he gets.
Yeah, you're not considered a victim.
No.
Mm-mm.
And I know it's kind of hard to make that 911 call, but we need to acknowledge men do get beat, and it's more than just they get scratched and they get. There's some real. They need to go home. They need a shelter too. Some of them. 267. Your mic is on.
I was going to say I read in an article recently that there's a lot of rape that occurs towards men in different institutions like the military, and I think attacks on gay
rape
men.
Rape by women?
No.
Other men.
By other men.
Oh.
That occurs in the military if they find a man and he sort of acts like he's feminine. I think that the incidence of attacks on those types of men in the military has increased. And I think what we're starting to see now is attacks on gay men in the street. If you see two men and they appear like they're and they appear like they're gay or they're acting like they're feminine on the street, some of these men are being attacked now.
But let me say this. I was talking to someone, and they said, it's a shame, and I'm trying to think of what it was, but it said it's a shame that you can see two men kissing in the street and it'd be okay, but if you see, what was that? Something else. It's criminal. Also, I don't know if you guys heard about the actor who played in Django Unchained who was arrested for kissing her husband in public.
That's her husband?
That's her husband.
They said it was her boyfriend.
No, that's her husband.
Okay, that's good. I'm glad to hear that. It wasn't just, I think they were getting busier than that. But
then, wait a minute, listen, the busyness is still her husband.
Yeah, it doesn't.
And they didn't arrest her because she got arrested because they thought she was a prostitute.
Yeah, that's
the sum total.
Yeah, and she's going to get paid for that.
Yeah, but I don't want to get paid. I want to get paid, but I don't want to get paid that way.
Mm-hmm.
I want to get paid. That's just wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Because you see, that's just wrong.
Yeah, I got you. I'm not against you now.
I mean, I'm serious. There's some things going on here in the world, and we're not paying attention.
But I think still people have problems in terms of any type of interracial relationships. People still have problems seeing those types of relationships go forward because they because I think a lot of people feel that black people have a lot of self-hate, and they're the first ones to marry outside of their race.
Listen,
in
my question is,
to other cultures of people.
Sweetie, listen, this is the issue. You might have self-hate, but when you're a law officer, before you arrest me, don't you think you want to ask me a question?
Yeah. Well, the main question asked her if she was a prostitute because it appeared that this white man was car and he was starting to make out with a black prostitute. So that's
okay.
What most people thought.
So why would they think that? And why would he not ask questions before he just assumed that she had to be a
prostitute?
Well,
because in most of those circumstances, if they see black on white,
not in California,
they think it's prostitution.
Yeah.
No, baby. No, not in California. California, we got free love.
Yeah,
we do it all.
Sure is.
I came back here and I was like, we don't eat together or what? We only have friends of other races in Mahoning Valley. In California, no. It wasn't like she was on the corner of, you know, Sunset and Vine. Hey, Carter Collier, your mic is on. The person who called in with the private number, your mic is on.
You're in the air.
It don't make no difference. You say in the air, your mic is on. Your mic is off because you're
making
noise.
Your mic ain't on.
Yes, it is.
No.
It was on.
The mic is on all the time. It's a phone. So he's on the air or
Jeff,
in the
Jeff,
air.
Jeff, mm-hmm. You can call it what you want. He's still got making noise and he ain't talking. He's off. Pionki, good morning.
Good morning.
Ain't
how
nobody
are you?
Want to talk.
I'm good. How are you?
Patrick. I'm doing very wonderful. Very, very wonderful indeed.
Did you spank your children coming up?
Yes. I was thinking about that. I think I spanked my daughter maybe twice, three times. My grandson, no, I spanked her about three times. My grandson maybe twice. I got spankings all the time when I was coming up.
You needed
them. I don't know.
I can tell. I can tell that.
No,
I
spanked other people's kids. I remember I had one young lady's son, and he was in the back seat of the car, and he kept on. I told him to stop, so I just pulled over and got out the car, opened the back door, pulled him out, and put my right hand to his butt a couple times, and put him back in the car, and he acted okay after that.
Kids around me did not work well, because I believe in correction. I do. I believe you're supposed to tell a kid, stop. No, you can't go. It's okay to say that to them. You know,
well, you know, Tracy, when we was coming up, and I'm a little, probably maybe a couple of days older than you,
mm-hmm.
The discipline of children was an art form that you learned from older people. And probably the first two times you've done it, you was being monitored to make sure you had done it correct. And we didn't, you know, I never got disciplined for the first thing I done. When I finally got disciplined, it was for an array of things that I done. And I had an aunt in Harvey, Illinois, right outside Chicago. She would make you go out and get the switch that you was going to get spanked with.
So that's what we were talking about that earlier. Yeah, I mean, definitely,
the art of parenting, you have to have a certain level of wisdom.
Switches will always make wealth.
Oh, yeah.
If I'm not mistaken.
And falling
switches
off a bicycle will
wealth.
Make wealth, too.
That's why they go down the street riding a bicycle looking like they're playing football.
Yeah.
They got more helmets and pads on riding a bike now than I've ever seen. I'm like, where are you
elbow
going?
Elbow pads.
Yeah.
Dad put that on my daughter.
Don't get me started. I had a skateboard growing up, so believe me, I had a whole lot of wealth along with the switch wealth.
That same aunt would make you get the rose bush with the little thorns on them.
Ooh.
But she didn't.
Nice.
And whoop your butt with them. So,
did it help you out?
You know. Oh, absolutely it did. Matter of fact, when my grandfather was laying on his deathbed, I held his hand and thanked him for every time he whipped my butt.
So why are we getting ready to crucify Adrian Peterson?
Because of the society we live in.
And why don't we hear any of your leaders, Jeffrey?
You tell me.
I don't hear any of your leaders, because, see, your leaders were raised with the same culture that we were raised with. Why aren't your leaders speaking out?
They're not allowed to, Tracy.
They're not getting paid for it.
No. Well,
if there was some money in it, they'd be all over it.
But this doesn't make money.
No.
Disciplined children won't make money for them.
But the whole concept of corporal punishment is different now because you have child.
You have child protective services.
If they find welts or marks on your child, if your child goes to school with welts or marks, they'll call a social worker. and they'll call some type of child protective services to question you.
We know
find
that.
Out where these stories are coming from.
But the question is, do you want? Because my mama said she was either gonna beat me or the prison was gonna beat me. She said so. She made her choice early. That
well,
it would
you know
be her.
The police
at least she was gonna love me.
You know how the police departments used to beat, resorted to beating people they had in custody. They used to put a telephone book between them and the baton, and beat them that way. That way it wouldn't leave no marks.
Hey, Mama, actually, if you want to know the truth about it, when growing up, we had teachers who could give you cracks.
Listen.
With a paddle.
You know what we did to people?
Yeah.
You're
not allowed
in,
to do that now.
No.
Well, yeah, you are. 19 states.
In some states.
19 states. I saw it yesterday.
But they won't touch it because of lawsuits.
No, that's not true.
No.
19 states. You're still allowed to crack a high school.
And do they do?
Yeah, they still do. Uh-huh. Sure they do.
Where?
I have to look at it. Let me look at the ones that still allow corporal punishment.
Hey, Tracy?
Yeah.
If you use a swear word, you got your mouth washed out with soap, literally.
Me swearing was not my problem. I didn't have to do the soap thing. That was never my issue. I never slammed doors. I never swore back. I never rolled my eyes. I never had that issue. Now I got slapped with a couple gloves every now and then.
Well, listen. In the service, when somebody act up, we wrap them up in a blanket. And beat them with our combat boots.
In the service? Why would they do that?
Because they get us in trouble. You get somebody, they're messing up. See, you know, while you're in basic training, you know, it's really regimented. You can't move to the left or the right. You have no real freedom for, like, that 45 to 60 days, okay?
Yeah.
Well, they give you, if you get so much stuff done, you get leaves, like to go on the base, walk the base freely for a couple hours, this, that, and other. Well, if you got a complete in your area messing up, they'll get you in trouble. And you don't get to go out on that walk. You have to stay in. You can read. You can study your book. But you don't get to go anywhere. We would give them, it's called a GI shower.
Wow! See, y'all were brutal.
Oh yes, we were.
I'm going to switch the subject too because I've been meaning to bring this up for the last couple of weeks. There is a bill in California that they want to be able to give marijuana to people who are indigent.
Yes, give
poor people. Am I hearing that correctly?
You're hearing it correctly.
So that they can, because they need it for medicinal purposes.
No, they could do that right now without having to put a bill in place. They want to give them that if they want to use it because they have not.
The government's going to get into the recreational marijuana business anyway, and they're going to tax it because they already allowed alcohol and, you know, all types of tobacco products like cigarettes and chewing tobacco to be legal. So they're eventually going to let marijuana be legal in all 50 states.
Listen, this is my issue. I do a lot of baking, and I do baking. I make rum cakes and bourbon balls and all that kind of crazy stuff. I ain't been able to go into a liquor store ever and get a free bottle. So how are you going to give people free weed? Because the city of Berkeley, California, is demanding that sellers of medical marijuana set aside a stash so that people making less than $30,000 a year can get their supplies for free.
Yeah. Well, in that case,
what?
They're using it for a form of medicine, but I'm saying eventually they're going to let marijuana itself across the board just be legal so people will be able to buy it.
John, they're having a hard time in Colorado right now. With the recreational free marijuana, I want to know why would you give marijuana out for free?
Because they're trying to get customers to come back. After they give out their free samples, they're hoping that person will come back with some money and actually buy some after they've had their free samples. That's the whole purpose of their marketing campaign.
Again, who in the world markets medicinal medical marijuana for free? I mean, I want you to understand that the lack of common sense is going on with this. Who does that?
But the whole purpose
of
giving out anything free is so that you can hook somebody onto your product, so the person will come back over time and actually buy the product.
John, you keep on telling me the same thing.
They're giving poor people this stuff.
Right.
They can't buy it, John.
So what's the end result? Yeah.
Hey, Tracy, you ever watch Waters World on Fox News?
Absolutely.
No.
Why would you give people free weed? Why would you give free weed to those people? They don't need it.
No, they don't.
I mean, seriously, do we really understand what's really going on here?
No.
And when I say this,
how much money
this
poor
not,
people actually have.
John, they're giving it to them free.
That means
prize,
you
how much,
they
how much money
pay,
poor
so
people
would,
can get a hold of if
John,
they
John,
actually
thank,
want
thank
something.
Thank John, can't. Think beyond what you done came to as a conclusion right now. They're giving it to indigent people, meaning they don't have no money.
This is not a marketing campaign. There's no money. There's no capitalism here.
Right.
There's nothing here. How are you going to give it to poor people?
Give it away now.
Yeah, these people don't even know who the vice president is right now. You don't give them free weed?
You know, Eric, you hold on. Private call, your mic is on. You keep on calling in. Okay, I guess you don't want to talk. You hit the button.
Unlisted caller, you're there. Is that you, Stanley?
No, that's not Stanley. That's what I'm saying. They're not there. Hello, are you there? Good morning.
Yeah, I'm here.
How you doing? I'm trying to pull you up. How you doing?
Yeah, well, I'm at work, so I can talk to you sometime, not all the time.
Okay,
I think it's just the thumbing down of America. They want everybody to be us.
Say that again.
You hear?
No, I missed it. What did you say?
I said it's the dumbing down of America. They want everybody to be high on drugs.
I agree, and that's absolutely. They want you to be zombies so that they can control you.
Then they're gonna kill you off with Ebola.
Hey.
Yeah.
That's the movie that they keep having about zombies. That's really what it's about.
Because when you're high, that's what you are.
Right.
You're right.
You don't know what's going on around you. Don't care.
Now Ebola's coming. Do you notice how they keep? Now they have this serum that they say is experimental. They've brought people into this country in two different places.
Right.
Okay. One in Atlanta and one up in wherever it was. Now, you have these people from the CD.
They said they brought more than just those people there. There's been other people they done brought back that we don't know of.
I believe it. And here's the bottom line. Now, the serum is working on the people that we brought back. But they're saying that right now, with as many of this virus as a body produces during the day, that there's bound to be a mutation, and it's going to go airborne. And when it goes airborne, it's not going to be able to be stopped easily. They say it's going to run rampant for at least 6 months' time.
Why would you want Ebola to come to America?
Because you want to wipe people out. You have too many people to control. You can't afford to control.
Hold on, stop. Mm-hmm. The number is 347-945-5229. I'm going to take a break in just a second, but I've got to figure something out. I don't understand. Okay, you've got how many illegal kids came in here in the last six months?
Something like 60,000.
Okay, so if you have too many people here, why would you allow 60,000 in to kill 50,000?
To kill 50,000, what do you mean?
If you're going to spread Ebola in the United States, why would you let 60,000 in to kill people? I mean,
you're going to have to have people that replaces the ones that you're going to wipe out. And you know who's going to get wiped out first.
But they don't need Ebola to wipe you out. Y'all got that covered.
You ain't got it covered fast enough. See, they have to hurry this stuff along because people are getting hip to it and they're resisting. United States people are resisting. one world government and things like that.
330, I'm sorry, 336, your mic is on.
Yes.
Hello? Yes, good morning.
Peace. Yes.
Hey, how are you?
North Carolina. I'm outstanding. How about yourself?
We're doing good.
Doing all right? Yes,
Chuck Kier, what's up, my brother?
Hey, peace, family. I just wanted to say you can go to the head of this, even when you study at a military facility in Maryland, where they came up with the AIDS virus, at all this is nothing new. When you study, this why, you know, there has to be a precipice. When you study about eugenics and Bill Gates, who his father was, because we don't study physics, chemistry, biology. We don't even understand ABO blood type system. This is why they have all these blood donors. It's a billion-dollar industry, and people donate all this blood. When they study your deoxyribonucleic acid, your DNA, what they do, they have a whole military facility in Arizona. That's all they do is study blood work. This is why my Christian brothers and sisters say the power is in the blood. This is why not Seventh-day Adventists, but Jehovah's Witnesses don't donate blood, because they know power is in the blood. This is where they come up with all these ethnic weapons. And you keep donating your blood, you don't read, you keep getting high, and me being a Marine, you know, everybody not going to make it, and I'm all right with that. Because as this earth continues to move closer to the sun, which you see they keep doing this geoengineering and trying to block the sun out, those who do not have the genetic equipment to handle the sun, which highly melanated people do, they're disappearing off the planet. If you see, there's a book called The Darkening of America. It was by this minister from the 700 Club, Pat Robertson. The Browning of America, or The Darkening of America. They know
Browning,
that in 1995, the Caucasian birth rate was like at zero. In the year 2005, it was like a -5. So they are genetically are not designed to last. And this is why some women, even when you can do the studies, even some women, black women who marry white men and they want to have their children, a lot of times they have to be injected with a serum that will allow their genetic material in the womb to accept their semen. Everybody on the planet is not human. You got to study these things. Everybody
you
on
know.
The planet is not human.
Dog.
Y'all done gone too far. I'm taking a break.
Car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingly Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingly offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingly, it's not clean. Kingly Hand Wash and Wax.
Fit Family. Unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com. Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life.
Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a Fine Art Limited Edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue.
Hello?
Yes. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, hello?
Are they on break?
I think they are.
Okay.
Something just happened.
Must be having some studio
Yeah, a lot of times when you talk a lot of truth, that will happen.
Oh, I wasn't listening to the show, so I don't know who you are and what they were discussing. I just called in.
Oh, I was telling them that everybody on the planet is not human. A lot of times when black women or women of color want to have children with Caucasian males, the medical doctors have to give the women injections so that they're vaginal walls, or that they will be able to accept their seed.
Oh, where did you get this medical information from?
My sister's a medical doctor. My uncle's a medical doctor. I mean, that's general knowledge.
Well, are they medical doctors or they're oncologists? I mean, not oncologists, gynecologists.
DB, you just had a relationship with a white male, didn't you?
Yes, oh. I did.
You get any shots?
Well, I didn't know that. Don't be mean. You know, knowledge is not to be mean or disparaging to anybody. It's just facts. It's just what it is. But like I was saying, everybody on the planet is not human. You know, you got people with Neanderthal DNA. You got to ask yourself who is Homo purus, who is Homo erectus, who is Homo sapien, who is mankind. Who is man-like? You know, these are what they call colorable law or color language to make you see things other than what they are.
Now you're talking up Jeff's language. Is Jeff on the air today?
Ma'am?
Bianchi?
Yeah.
Is Jeff in the studio today?
Yeah, he's in there.
And what does he say? Because this is right up his alley.
Oh, what do you mean? Right
at the talking right at the break.
Oh, I have Caucasians in my family, but you know, truth is truth. But I always tell them. I say, if you don't want to know the truth, don't ask.
Sir, I'm sorry. I've never had my gynecologist tell me that if I wanted to have children with
I said a large percentage.
I mean,
man, I have. You know, I'm not here to talk bad about you or anybody in an interracial relationship.
Well, I know that. I'm just saying that just sounds like some far out truth to me. It just doesn't make any sense because I've had a child, and
yep. I'm just saying, just look it up and
anything can go wrong with a pregnancy,
ma'am.
But it don't matter who the father is or what race the father is.
Okay.
So I'm just having a hard time understanding where you're coming from.
Well, I'm just telling you what medical science.
Well, I understand you're telling me what you believe medical science says.
No, ma'am. I don't believe anything. Because belief in the etymology of the word means to have doubt. You know, our knowledge is supposed to take you from a ball of us to a Noah to connect to that God force inside of us. So I don't believe anything. Like a math teacher, when he says, just don't tell me 2 + 2 = 4, get me the proof. You have to show me. That's my science is up there.
Hey, we're back, and this is Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. Guy from, where's he from?
Shakir.
No, he's from North Carolina.
North Carolina.
He was on there. They were talking about. And I'm going to say, you're listening to Tracy and Friends. The number is 347-945-5229. I do not subscribe to all that he says, but there's some things that he says that could possibly be true. And I'll just put it to you that way, because I'm not here to debate what you just said. I'm just saying.
We just can't go that deep.
John, you're going to let me talk. I'm going to mute you. It's just that simple. I will not fight with you today. I'm not saying that I'm not here to debate what he's saying. What I'm saying is, because this is not the conversation.
I understand.
But what I'm saying is, there's some things that I subscribe to and I agree with,
mm-hmm.
and then some things I do not. And so that's what I'm saying to you, North Carolina, when it comes to the interracial part of this.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Tracy.
Yeah. Hey, good morning, Alabama.
Yeah, I heard you playing that song. He was just here this weekend. We went to see Charlie Wilson. He went off.
He always does.
That part goes.
You know what that song is about.
I have no idea.
Tulsa Rise. The Tulsa Rise, Drop the Bomb on Me, was about the Tulsa Rise in 21, when they killed all those, about 4,000 black people. They killed them, took their businesses, money, all that. And, and that's what that song is about. You Drop the Bomb on Me was talking about how they went up in airplanes and dropped dynamite on them. And, yeah. But that, yeah.
I didn't know that. That's a Woodrow Wilson.
I didn't know that.
That's what it stands for. GAP is Greenwood, Archer, and Pine is the name of the three streets that was considered Black Wall Street. You know, because they actually,
right. he's
and they were actually
right.
doing business overseas. They were starting to do business in London and different places. And, the government didn't want that to happen. So, but I didn't want to
I
come
got
in
a question.
And say,
stop. Hold on. I got a question for you guys. Because I've been listening to the GAP band for many, many years. And, you know, we have other mediums that are out that are a whole lot larger than us. And I do a lot of Facebook. I do a lot of media. I do a lot of radio. I do a lot of TV. Why is it that has never been really talked about when it comes down to Charlie Wilson and focusing in on talking about who they are, why they call themselves what they call themselves, and what their music was about? Because if you listen to and it makes sense, logical sense to me, even though I've never heard that before. So why is it that we have not? Where?
You just said where?
Where?
Yeah, we haven't. So
where?
They used to talk about it on Soul Train.
Right.
I never heard that.
Is it possible that you ain't heard? You ain't every place at one time.
Bianchi, this is my
and
issue.
It's Greenwood section.
Bianchi, again, listen, this is the issue. If I haven't heard it, that means young people and other people have not heard that either. And when we're talking about a positive affirmations in the African-American community and getting people to understand, so right now they sample his music. They
right.
love Charlie Wilson, but yet they don't know the history of Charlie Wilson. So what, we going to wait until he dies and they're going to come out with a story?
Charlie ain't saying it.
Ms. Tracy, may I address that, please?
Sure.
Okay, yes, ma'am. The thing about is about us as a people around the world, when you look at the whole diaspora, especially in America, when we start catching up, they start switching up. Because you got to remember, back in the 60s, you know, that's my mother's and father's music. So I know those
okay.
history. And so what happens is they dumb down the music, they take it over, and then they make it universal, even though it has a universal message. Music is universal. But then they take the cultural aspect of it out, and so the history is lost about where it come from, who were these people, what were their struggles, and what was
okay.
behind the music. And they do that in everything.
Let me say this way. Let me break this down to you. Because, see, I think you're a little bit more politically correct than I am. See, this is what I don't understand. See, oral history was around before the Internet.
Yes, ma'am.
And my question is, if we have this kind of history and we have Radio 1, we have TV 1, we have other networks, we have Oprah, you know, Tyler Perry, why in the world are we not actually telling the truth about our own story when you've got as much money and as much time and as much silliness as they do?
Can I
because
jump in?
Because you have the commercialization.
Oh!
Certain. of the music. And as a result of being more of an enterprise.
Listen to me. We already, you got to understand, there are people out there that are bigger, better, brighter than I am. These guys make, they make more money in a minute than I will make in my lifetime.
Yes, ma'am. They want to keep their money.
It's a business enterprise.
Yeah, Tracy, the thing is, a lot of these people that you're talking about built their power within a system of people. They cannot make those kinds of waves. That's why I just about every man you see in Hollywood. Because think about it, every man you see in Hollywood that gets his hands on two nickels has to dress and act like a woman.
Okay.
That's the way they operate.
Okay. Now, they may have to act like a woman. Okay, Mud Dia can tell a story about Charlie Wilson because she was going to try to get with him.
Right.
You can tell it any way you want to.
Right.
But again,
history is not.
Listen to what I'm saying. History can be told in a comedic way if you want to get the history out. But what I'm saying is the information is what is key. And when it comes to the information, when we look at positive affirmations in our community, we wonder why our children are not subscribing and or aspiring to become anything. It's because we're not putting anything in them for them to grow to.
But that's just it. These stereotypes make money. In the mainstream media.
Let me say this to you, Ms. Tracy, on this aspect. There's a book called The Deliberate Dumbing Down of America by Charlotte Elizabeth, and it talks about, she talks about how they specifically, took out, yes ma'am, how they specifically took out critical thinking and analysis out of schools, where they're just regurgitating back what they hear. This is done through the drugs. That's why I said, if you don't understand white supremacy, racism, how it works, it's a multi-pronged approach. When you see all these things it's like I can give you a prime example. President Kennedy said, right, there's a plan in America to make every man, woman, and child a slave, and before I leave this high and mighty noble office, I will expose every last one of them. And they killed
And they got killed the next day.
Got killed. Right. And so you got to understand that when you go up and you really understand the real power, who controls things, the real power, these people play no jokes. This is why I train every day. This is why I read every day. This is why I study linguistics.
Listen. I understand why you do what you do. My question is, why are we not teaching our children to do what you do?
All right. Well, there's a lot of us that are doing it, but if you're expecting those mediums that are not controlled by us to show that they're not going to do that. Yes, ma'am. I know a lot of you are doing it. You're on your post. I'm on my post. The sisters and brothers that are doing what they're supposed to do on their post. But we cannot expect those who empower to show us doing positive things. We have to do it for ourselves.
Most people are plugged into the system.
We have people that listen to this show here. And I appreciate all that listen and all that chime in and all that call in. And they are very, very important to me to make us grow. And they don't always agree with me, and it's okay. I don't mind that they disagree. My objective is to get you to think.
Yes.
But when I look at where I'm going into the world that I'm trying to get to, there comes a time we all want to sit down and we want to do the Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, by any means necessary, and I have a dream.
Right.
We all want to become the leader and the status of it. And there are those who actually have the resources, the money, and the power to get the information out.
Okay.
And for some reason, it is completely still stalled. And I talked earlier about this young man who spanked his child with a switch. It is a cultural thing, and not all children can be put in timeout. And I said earlier, I was not a child who was a timeout child, so you could put me into a corner and I burned the corner down because that wasn't working.
But the reason why
Go ahead, Eric.
The reason why the message does not get out because
Go ahead, Eric.
I mean, the fact that they have to describe a switch as a small stem shows you that there's a cultural disconnect there.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. I mean, and when you, I'm looking at Oprah's network. I'm looking at TV One and how they have their head so far up the administration's hoo-wah-wah that they won't come down and tell the truth to the people who are there. But they say that they're in the best interest of them. You've got the NAACP and the Urban League who are supposed to be fighting on our behalf, yet they fight for everybody else.
Right.
And then we have information, resources, and money, and they have the truth and won't tell it.
Ms. Tracy, that just goes
not true about
that those things are, some of those people are controlled. But you are doing your job. You are doing your job by getting the information out there.
But right now, I still got people dying, waiting for me to become larger so that they can get the information that they can grow further.
Ms. Tracy, we know that is, when the gazelles make their migrate across the Serengeti, all of them don't make it. But they're there together. We know that if you're not studying and putting the time into your children, it's like anything in nature, anything in physics, in chemistry, in biology is built on the principle of law and order. When you don't seek knowledge or don't put anything between your two ears, you then consequently offer yourself up as an enemy of God because you are not trying to be your best self instead of your worst self.
Because remember, hold on, let me say it this way, and let me say this, because I got to let John, I want to let John in, because he wants to say something, but he has to wait. But what I'm saying is, we're the one who feed people. The reason why these people are on top, Oprah Winfrey just did something in Detroit, Michigan, that was to a sold-out crowd that was $150 per person. And they were in there like she was passing out free money. It was worse than free cheese. And what I'm saying is the reason why they are successful is because we've put them there. So why is now that we are not challenging them to make sure they give us the information that we need so that we can grow to become like them? That is my issue, because when I look at Charlie Wilson, I had never known that GAP was an acronym. And so, and I'm reading it on Wikipedia now, because I've met Charlie. I've hung out with Charlie. He never talked to me. We weren't talking about that. But again, when I look at this, and I'm talking about this, and I'm going, wow, that's deep. That needs to be exposed. That needs to be exposed in our school districts. So when we teach children what an acronym is, that the teacher knows how it can make them relate, because it's been sampled in certain kind of music, and it makes it relate to them culturally. But you can't do that if you don't know it. And if I don't know it, that means others don't know it.
Well,
and so the question is, how do we get the information to become go out past where we are into the mainstream so that our children can have something to hold on to so that they don't have to die in the streets? Go ahead, John.
The whole thing is they don't want the message and the music to come out. All of that goes back to what people like Gamble and Huff were trying to do. They were trying to put a certain message inside the music, but the mainstream media doesn't want that to happen.
Well, here's something I'll say. I've been listening to this going back and forth. Yes, you're correct, but it's a little more than that, because the people themselves aren't necessarily saying that. And in reading their thought about this, their name was derived from that street, but not that song. But it doesn't matter. The whole situation is this: they derived their name off of that because they were conscious of the fact that Black Wall Street happened. And tell you the truth, at the time this song came out, I was not conscious that the Black Wall Street had happened. I was not, so I didn't know what Gap Band meant except Gap Band. And I never heard it on Soul Train, which I watch religiously every week. I never heard it on anything. So, you know.
Well, the schools my children went to taught that. So you guys.
How are your children now?
Tracy, now listen, if you don't want me to speak, let me know. I get tired of listening to that beep, beep, beep.
I'm told you I cannot handle you talking on top of people. I can't hear you.
He asked me a question.
Old are your children? How old are your children?
I'll tell you
now,
what,
Felix?
Jeff. You asked Tracy to answer.
I asked you how old are your children.
He keeps on talking on top of you, and I can't hear him. So
that's all I asked you.
And he won't. And he's mad at me because I muted him. What? He'll be all right.
You want the question, I'll give you the answer, but she's playing with that button like it's a toy.
Here at Pet
you
Spa
need to go
Salon to on Western Reserve Road, we are...
Well, the whole thing is this, Bianchi. You got to educate yourself because the school systems aren't going to educate your children. You got to have a reading list.
She needs to go lose
for certain
weight.
Things for them to read.
Weight starts affecting her mind.
So that they don't become brainwashed. By what
the
mainstream
knew about that.
Tells
the school
them.
That they went to, John, I'm sure you got schools in your community. And there, I can't think of the name, Aisha, Shule, and so on and so on. They taught our kids, children, those things. It's not they need to have those. They should have had those schools in their community also. We talk
yeah.
about that all the time.
Well, in the larger urban places, they have people who are probably more on the more on the progressive side of education.
Absolutely. Yep.
But
you too damn they spend too much time studying that damn Jesus.
Lord,
that's what the
me,
problem
like
is. And that's the truth. How are you going
to
learn something about your, especially cultural history, in some of them schools you go to when you're always sneaking in Bible this, Bible that?
Well, the main problem now is you don't have parents that actually are parenting, teaching their children what they need to know and being involved in their child's education. And that's the reason why a lot of kids don't know certain things because when it comes to the other kind of parents, like in terms of the Jewish parents or parents who come from other parts of the world, they definitely teach their children about their culture. I mean, their children know all about the culture that they come from.
Yes, sir, you're absolutely right. Let me say this, and then I'm going to leave. Is Miss Tracy still there?
No, they on break.
They on break.
She
well,
got mad yesterday because she was in a car, and she could call in, but she couldn't mute nobody, and we teased her about
okay. it. Yeah, don't, you know, you always, y'all brothers always respect the queen, man. Give her justice.
No, I disagree with you on that, because some of these females are not no queen. Some of them are kings.
Well,
have you ever seen them?
Well, brother, you know, my mother, I had no problems taking instructions from a woman. My mother was a woman. And just that, you know, you have to be the bigger man at times.
Some of them get more women than you do.
Right. Okay, brother, I'm not going to get into all that, but I have enjoyed it. And she's on the job, and y'all brothers are on your job, and y'all just be civilized to one another. That's all I wanted to say. And y'all have a great
well, we
day,
try right? to contribute and add to make a program better, but you know how that goes sometimes.
Right. But, you know, hey, we'll all work it out. But I enjoy the program, I always do, and y'all take care, okay?
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Peace.
But as far as this, all this talking about, like, the message in the music, it was people like Gamble and Huff were doing that back in the day, Motown, you know, Berry Gordy, and the artist he put out.
Yeah, the Temptations.
Wonder did that all the time.
Ball of Confusion.
Put messages in the music, whereas today,
the
they only want
South
these
Africa.
Negative messages that these rappers are talking about, the street life. You know, that's the only message they want to put in the music. When you actually sit down and try to read some of the lyrics, you can see that they're trying to put these hidden messages to get these kids to become juvenile delinquents what they're putting in these rap lyrics. You know, talking about how many people they shot and them trying to run their drug enterprise and all that stuff. This stuff,
yeah.
And a lot of these people, they come from the street. And then they go and they become a rapper and they talk about their street experiences. Whereas when you get conscious rappers like a Chuck D or some of these other rappers, they don't last in the mainstream media because they don't want to empower the people with those types of messages.
Well, that's them Jews, man. Them,
yeah, right.
The
Jews
control them
are the ones that control the music business anyway.
Yeah.
you know, people like Clive Davis. I mean, he was the one that put up Puff Daddy when he was looking for a label, that Bad Boy label. It was a Jew that put the money up because like he had, I think Puff Daddy had walked away from Andre Harrell because he had gotten fired. And the first one he went to was that Jew, Clive Davis, and he gave him the money to start Bad Boy.
Jerry, same thing with Jerry Hill on the West Coast with NWA.
Yeah.
Yeah, they control the Globetrotters.
Yeah.
They tried to control. They was an intermediary then in Negro League Baseball. Same guy.
Right.
Saberstein.
Well, you know, when Farrakhan came out with that book where he talked about the secret types of relationship between the Jews and slavery, he tried to expose the fact there was a lot of Jews in America who were slave masters.
Right, that's when I...
You know, and then if you look at the history of Jews in terms of them being in business and being merchants, it would make sense that you would have some of them that would actually own slaves, you know, like if they happen to reside in the northeastern states before they abolished slavery, you actually had Jewish people who owned slaves, you know, and they were involved in the slave trade across the ocean because the Arabs in North Africa were involved in a slave trade and the Jews were, and the Jews acted more as like the middlemen in the transactions. So you would have Jews who were in those regions of the world. They would act as a middleman between Arab slave traders and the other parties who happened to be European. And
well,
all of these relationships were exposed by the Nation of Islam.
Yeah, that's why
it did here in America when they outlawed slavery. The transport on the high seas, they were the ones who built those new ships that was called the Yankee Clippers, which could outrun those other old ships. And they were the one that was behind that. Just like Frank Carlucci was behind the killing of Patrice Lumumba. And he's still a CIA official, or should I say, an officer, still around today.
And then another thing the Jews don't want you to know, there are Palestinians who are black people. You know, so basically the Arabs over there, among the Palestinians, they got a certain subset of them that are actually black. And if they came over here, most people would think that the person was an African American, but the person is actually a Palestinian. So
you got a large population of blacks in Iraq and Basra. They was there because of trade. Arabic is an African language. It's the only African language. It's not on the continent. So the history goes very, very deep.
Yeah.
It was Britons who called Arabs any damn way.
Yeah. So basically, over there in that situation, you have a people of color that are being oppressed by people who happen to be more of a European set of people who have migrated over there. So, I mean, like they said before, that's more of an apartheid situation that's going on over in Israel, you know, where you have where you basically have a white minority that's trying to oppress a large majority of people of color.
They use that land. They use that landmass. They use that Palestinian landmass that they've carved out and call Israel as a base,
right?
For all the other dirt that they do around in the world.
Yeah.
But look at the CIA assassination of Campos, the one of the presidential contenders for the Brazilian race next month.
Yeah. No, and the Jews that everybody acknowledges are the Ashkenazi Jews. Those are not the original Jews. the original Jews are people who are more of a Middle Eastern origin, and the ones that are of that type, they are more of the Sephardic set of Jews, and those are the Jews who are oppressed over there in the Middle East. The Ashkenazis are the ones who are running everything. The ones that come from Eastern Europe. Is she playing Charlie Wilson now? If she realized the Gap and Gap Band is referring to Black Wall Street.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on the SOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229, and we want you to call in. It is 6 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock here on the 16th of September 2014. Hope you're having a good day today on Tuesday. Today I'm going to step out of here in about 45 minutes. I got Rotary this afternoon, so I'm going to try to get there on time and turn the helm over to Jeffrey. Eric's in chat room, and so is Pionki. And let me say this: you have to understand. I love you guys, but you can't. I mean, you guys, you have to wait until somebody gets it out, because if you don't, it comes off really bad audibly, really, really bad. And so, if I can't hear you in my headset, and I can't hear what you're saying, neither can the people who are listening, especially on terrestrial radio,
right,
or on the phone, and or on our app. And if they can't hear you, and after a while, it becomes a major nuisance, and that means they turn the channel, which I don't blame them. And it is not my wish that people turn the channel because they can't hear and because of the rattling that comes from the phone up at the train crash. It's really, really bad. And so when you get muted, it's not because I don't love you, but it's because I can't let you talk on top of everybody because they can't hear you.
And
it's just that simple.
And we try to do it. We're not trying to be like all talk shows where you get your two minutes of fame to speak and then it's over for that day or that week.
We're not here for that.
Yeah, we're trying to actually get dialogues going so that people hear dialogues of problems and of issues so that they start to have an understanding of them, because this is, we really want to make a difference, not just be here, you know, to entertain. Even though this is entertainment.
This is entertainment.
It is also edutainment. It's edutainment.
But let me say, no, it's infotainment. It's
right.
We're here to give you information, and you may not agree with what we talk about. You may not understand. You may not like what we say. But, again, I have to say this. This is a business. And if they cannot hear and people start to turn the channel because of the train wreck, because of the lack of management on my behalf, because I cannot control you, then I have to do something about it.
Control your impulses.
This is my livelihood, whether you like it or not. And I won't be here, and I will have an attitude if I'm not here. It's serious. And I am 438. Good morning,
Tracy.
Feeling it? Yes. Good morning, Eric. Good morning, Alabama.
Check this out. Durham, North Carolina. Wilmington, North Carolina, Philadelphia. We know about Rosewood, the movie. This,
right.
That was standard operating procedure. Your hometown, Youngstown, had a riot in 1930. It was just standard. It was,
yeah.
That was the operating way of the day. I mean, that's why, you know, when you talk about wealth, I really look at the wealth implications of these incidents. Like, how much wealth was transferred when... Because think about it, nobody's going to go in a poor neighborhood. They're going to go, these people were ex-slaves working 15, 16 hours a day, and then they're free, and you tell them they actually get paid for their labor? These people, and I heard that they say from 1890 to 1930 was the greatest economic boom in the black community. We were doing things, we were taking over. That's when A.G. Gaston had gotten started out of Birmingham. Just telling you, it's a lot of stuff that's been hit. I think
Alabama, listen. This information, and let me say this, the information about the – because, see, we always want to go to Africa, but you can actually go to the soil of America and you find great stories that have been hidden over the years. You don't have to go to Africa to find them, because we're already here. But the problem is
we want to live on the dream of other people, but we don't want to die because of the dream. And that's where my problem comes in. See, I am a firm believer that sometimes you have to sacrifice yourself so that others can live behind you. Martin Luther King, his messaging, his way of life, what he allowed, Malcolm X, Medgar Evers, and many, many others that are unnamed, they were hung and killed so that we could sit here and do what we do today. And we have leaders, and all they want to do is get paid and live well. That's a problem for me. Because you can't live on money and not conflict, because people need to hear. And these, I mean, I can understand if your livelihood and you've got babies and your livelihood is tied to your resources. That's something different. That means you, it's kind of hard for you to fight when you're broke. But when you have the resources, the influence, and the economic stability that no one can actually too much touch you, then don't you think you ought to start telling the truth so that other people can grow and we can have a better tomorrow than we have today?
Well,
Oprah can't spend her billion.
One of the things I noticed when you talk to a lot of brothers is that they complain about banks and stuff. Sometimes you have to start with $200 and do what you can. I mean, start with walking around painting curves, painting people's address on their curves for $5, you know, $10 or whatever. But you got to do something, and you do that part-time and save your money. So it just depends. I mean, I'm very optimistic in my outlook.
There are things going on in our country, and I talked about the drum line at the Browns game earlier. When I look at the NFL, we're talking about, you know, the man beating his kids. We're talking about the guy hitting his wife. We're talking about all this, but you don't hear anybody talking about the lack of diversity outside of the football field.
Yeah, that's just it.
That's why Ray Rice and Adrian Peterson are having the problems they're having today.
That's what I'm saying.
Domestic violence is a very, very big problem in America, period. And it occurs in football probably because you have men with big egos.
What are you talking about? If their wife
talks back or their girlfriend talks back,
John,
they're more inclined to just, you know, hit her or something.
What are you talking about? I'm not talking about the domestic violence. I'm talking about the diversity of the NFL itself.
Yeah.
I will bet you if you go to the office of the NFL, where the commissioner is, and he's made $44 million, you will find very, very few people of color there.
Yeah, definitely, without a doubt. Because of the fact that...
I mean,
so tell me, why is it that we're not saying anything about this? We're talking about Black Wall Street. You're talking about riots that happen throughout the country. Why is it that we're not talking about this?
Can I interject one thing?
Yeah, go ahead. And then I'm going to pull in Eric and then John.
When Donald Sterling had his issue, you had a lot of black athletes and people that had money trying. People that I didn't even know could get their hands on $1 billion trying to buy a team. I'm like, if you could get your hands on $1 billion, why not start your own league with guys that are, you know, these kids coming out of college, offer them more money than the rookie cap or whatever, and you can start. But we don't think like we used to think like that. That's been beaten out of us. We don't have that entrepreneurial spirit to go after. And I even brought this up at a barbershop, and the guy was like, well, you know, ESPN is going to stop you. They're going to stop you. It's always every answer I gave, he gave an excuse as to why it wouldn't work. And people like that get on my nerves. I can't talk to them.
But I'm just saying. Eric, go ahead.
I mean, the other day I watched a clip online. I got to find it if I can share it. It was, of all people, Keith Olbermann, a guy I don't agree with on this about anything. But he broke it down with the NFL as far as the commissioner, the owners, the attorneys. It's a good old boys club.
Yeah.
Oh, of course it is.
It's an old boy network. You're not going to get in if you're not invited.
So my question is, if you're not going to get in if you're not invited, then why don't you start your own, like he said? Again, we're sitting up here, and we're Donald Sterling. Let's look at what happened here. You got a mixed girl who's a hoochie mama. who done made
I ain't saying she is old, Digger.
But you know what I'm saying.
She ain't working nothing.
She ain't got no hoochie.
So you got this hoochie mama. She done recorded a conversation from a senile old man who she been playing with his winky.
Yeah.
I'm serious. So hold on. Wait a minute. I'm not done with this
but
story
what
yet.
She claims
hold on.
That,
John, hold on.
What she claims is
no, no.
She never
listen what I'm saying. Listen. Again. You ain't got $2.5 million without smiling somewhere.
Thank
so
you.
So you got to go there. You got the wife who wants to declare him incompetent. You've got the guy who was the CEO of Microsoft who comes in with a $2 billion check. You got the players who's mad, and she says he don't want black folks at his game.
With her,
not at all, but with her up in the boxes. And then you turn around and you say okay. So in this equation, the NAACP, who was supposed to give Donald Sterling a Lifetime Achievement Award and get X amount of thousands of dollars, they ain't getting none. He's got his money in his pocket. He ain't getting none. He going to get $2 billion. The other man's going to
get
$1
billion.
He's going to get a team.
Yeah.
What do you have? Tell me, at the end of the equation, all about your racism, all about, oh, my God, they said something bad against me. What did you get?
Oh,
so now you got
Tracy.
Ray Rice.
Tracy, if you
yes?
look at this situation, with Donald Sterling, I was talking to Michigan about this one day. We both were saying, look, it would have been better to play on him being at over the barrel and get him to start black-owned banks or something and do that than to get it another white guy on the team. So what, you get to play ball, but you hadn't really created any wealth in the
You
black
ain't done
community.
Nothing.
Yeah, it's just really
That's what
it's
I'm saying.
Emotion. It's emotion. White liberals got a hold to it and ran with it. Just like this Ray Rice situation, they run these white liberals getting it and getting their agenda appeased. But that's it.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm
what's
saying.
Point,
and at the end of the
up,
day,
you know?
What you going to get? I'm, that's what I'm saying. They're using you for fodder. At the end of the day, you have nothing.
Now, Democrats are now the advocates for domestic violence and child abuse, and they're going to run with it this election.
And we're sitting on the sidelines talking about, yeah, we got him. No, you ain't got him. He got paid. And so now you got the man down in Atlanta. He didn't return. He didn't found his own tape.
Let me ask you guys.
So the Atlanta Hawks, he's trying to make his own money off of his own racism because they didn't find that racism is a good commodity to sell the tool, sell a team.
Well,
you still ain't going nowhere.
Let me ask you a question, though. Why is it that if you had that child, that was your child, right? If you had to sent that child to the daycare with welts on his leg, the way the system is set up now, she would have went to jail. It's just I hate to say it because people say, well, you know, she was just shopping around trying to, she's bitter. Like, no, well, I mean, you send that child to the daycare, they going to push you if he got whips on his leg. So it's just like that. Now, the state runs.
Listen what I'm saying. This is a cultural thing. It was a switch. We need to deal with things. But to get federally indicted, a felony? That's mm-hmm. crazy. And that means it went through a grand jury. And so now you've got people sitting on their talking heads TV, sitting there talking about, I can't believe they're going to let him play football this weekend. He's a child abuser. Well, you know what? He was trying to keep his boy out of jail. But I'm just saying, we're getting used. We're getting pimped. Don't nobody care about you, and you have no access to wealth. So what are you going to do? And what they do is they shut you out to make sure that you don't come in.
That's the game. Power structure is never, and this is where Michigan Man has been saying, the power structure is never going to let you into the situation that they're in because they're not going to want to give up power. Same thing with our Congress, both sides playing games with people, knowing good and well they don't intend to really help the people. They intend to stay on, stay in power.
And they never want those of us with money or with brains to be around them
no.
with money because they don't want you to have access to it. And if you want to know the truth about it, go ask Ken Blackwell.
Absolutely.
Local call, your mic is on.
Hey, good morning, Tracy. How you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing all right. I'm just listening to your conversation, you know. And you know what I say? I said politics shouldn't be in certain areas. It just shouldn't. You know, they ain't got no business being in your bedroom. They ain't got no business getting up on your kids, telling you how you should.
Okay, he gone. Let me say this. When I say politics, they politicize domestic violence. And again, I don't think that this is – the Ray Rice thing is something different. The child abuse thing is something different. But the question is, why are we not dealing with the whole sum total of it? Like I said, you look around that stadium on Sunday when I was there, and all I could say was, oh, my God. Look, I was counting dollars.
Huge dollars, and you see why people that do certain things can live a certain way. Because, like I said, I don't know how many minority vendors that they have up at that place.
Very few. And let me say, and like I said, and all the people that were working the concession stand look like me, but no. I don't understand, but we don't own a concession stand company.
Right.
Yeah, and Tracy, you got 60,000 people at the First Energy Stadium. Imagine the big house in Michigan and the horseshoe down in Columbus.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, my God. For real.
I'm looking at some little tiny squatters team over here in Cleveland.
If they have, I mean, if a big house has 95,000 people, then that's considered a low turnout.
John, your mic is on. Go ahead.
I said somebody had asked how many minority vendors are allowed to work in those stadiums, and what happens is if they do turn it over to an independent business, it's either going to be Asian or white, or they would sell it to a food service company. And they would do practically all of the concessions inside the stadium. So, therefore, it would be a large corporation would be
again,
the one who's controlling all of the vendors.
Well, again, why is that we don't have our own vending company? Why is – I mean, you can, I don't understand how we can be the cook and everything there, but we can't own it. That makes no sense
because
to me.
Because they don't want you in business that like that. I mean, they don't want you making that kind of money.
Listen, it's not about what you want.
Yeah. No, what I'm saying is the power structure doesn't want you in those types of businesses because they know those businesses make a lot of money. Majority of people who own those businesses are multimillionaires.
They don't want African Americans making that kind of money. Let me see.
I will repeat what I said again.
Who cares about you not wanting me to make money? I don't care what you think. I'm here to make money. So I don't care if you don't want me to, and I don't care if you don't like me. The question is, why have we not done it for ourselves?
The reason why we haven't done it for ourselves is because we're caught in
the matrix. We only operate according to the way the system wants us to operate, and we have
Why, John? That's the question. Why is it that those of us who are outside the matrix still operate like we're still in it?
See, because guess what, John? I don't think like that, and I don't operate within that, within that matrix per se.
We're just trying to make it.
I'm going into all different areas. I'm getting ready to diversify again at my age and go into a different business. But the thing is you have to understand something, that how we are thinking is being controlled. And we're fighting each other on a chicken level.
A micro level
or chicken level, when we ought to be eagles, and we're not being eagles. We have the capability of being it. We know it from the fact that they had to destroy Black Wall Street.
And it tells you right there.
But if you really look at it, I think your power is always taken. It's never going to be given. I mean, Dr. Claude Anderson, when he goes and builds a fishery, he's getting into the seafood industry. He's not asking. He's taking. And we got to have that attitude. Take, not give, not ask.
Absolutely.
We got to take it. If they don't want to give it, start with $2 and go from there. Go build it 5, 10, to a million.
And this is the issue. We're not teaching, we teach people how to steal something that'll put you in jail, but not how to take something that'll make you grow.
And we don't teach you how to.
If somebody's going
to
always try to take it. The question is, are you going to be willing to keep it?
Absolutely. But you got to be willing to fight for it. And the question is, when do we decide that we are going to start fighting? So that we can employ our own, so we can change what's going on in our community.
Well,
because if we don't change it, we're going to lose.
Well, we're getting ready to go through another correction, and this time it may be the final correction for the U.S. dollar. And no, I'm not trying to scare anybody, as somebody told me on Facebook. I'm trying to tell you what's getting ready to happen. You cannot deal with $17.5 trillion in debt and still think you're going to have a viable country and a viable currency that is backed by nothing except the faith of the government in which issues it. You've got problems. So now, when this goes, notice that the people that have money stacked, they're buying businesses.
That's what I'm telling you, Jeff. I told you guys,
yeah.
When you pay $2 billion in cash, you're trying to find commodities and not dollars.
Not dollars, because dollars aren't going to be worth anything, but the commodity will be. Because life as we know it may end for a lot of people on the bottom, but it's not going to end for those that have. And so, therefore, you're still going to have people that are going to be able to afford to pay to go to a game, go to this, and the system will start over again in a different way. But watch what's going to happen, because you have to be also ready. We're not ignorant of this getting ready to happen, so we better have commodities and businesses that can take us through these things.
So my question is, why I've got to take a break.
Don't have commodities or businesses,
but,
so therefore they're going to be the first group to be wiped out.
John, why don't you create it?
Let's change that. You and I know better. I don't know what your condition is in Philadelphia, who you're around and who you know, but you better start evangelizing.
You got to change it.
Okay.
Broadcasting from the Ford Studios. Hey there, Trump.
I agree with Jeff. I do think nobody's going to help us, and we know it. So we just going to have to do it ourselves, like we did before.
Well,
so
that's what I'm saying, that the ministers need to start an economic forum in all the churches. We need to start talking about startups of small businesses.
But I agree with you, John, but the thing is, I mean, we're so busy hating on churches and hating with all the infrastructure we got within the community through the churches to do things. Church is very powerful, but people are so, right now, all the people that are quote-unquote conscious hate the church. They're so busy going on Facebook posting and talking out, you know, the church so bad to where it's just like, now we got to start, and nobody else has any infrastructure outside of the church to do stuff like this. The church is ready made to do this.
The church is bad. You know, we had a preacher here that Sterling sat down with, who owns Sterling Market, the preacher's name. He was a preacher at San Francisco Temple. He's dead now. He sat down with Sterling, because Sterling was doing business with the Arabs. He sat down with Sterling, and Sterling was beginning to tell him about an opportunity. The first thing he said, "Oh, if it ain't about Jesus, I ain't got nothing to do with it."
Well,
that's their mindset.
Hold on, Pianki. This is the thing. Okay, let's see, you're right, right? Let's say, we all know bad examples of preachers. I was in ministry for years. I know good guys. Nobody's going to take a bullhorn, run down the street screaming, "Here's a good guy." But when it's a bad guy, they'll do that. So I just think we can't just always just say, just like with black men and fathers, for example. People dog out black men are not good fathers. We all know good fathers. I was raised by one. My dad was, even though my parents got divorced, my dad was there. He taught me a lot about being a man. But let the people control the narrative. You can't throw everybody under the bus or the whole institution of the church.
Well, you're
under
right.
The bus,
but see,
because of
but,
one or two,
but somebody like me
few,
who has had that experience don't want to get involved with them no
and
more.
I can't disrespect what you're saying. I agree. I've had incidents in the ministry. People are not perfect. The church is a hospital. They get on my nerves too. But at the same time, I was just saying that, as a whole, when we look at black people as a whole, if somebody would say all black people are stupid, well, you can probably
you
find some
what,
information to back that,
Alabama,
but that's not the case. Go ahead.
Let me tell you something. When blacks shut down Highway 7 in 1999, we had a meeting at the church there at Kings Highway and St. Louis Avenue. And they had all their details down, the people that was going to involve it, Eddie Hassan, Mo Khan, and so forth. The governor at that time, and I can't think of his name, doggone it, he called the Clergy Coalition. And the Clergy Coalition was supposed to talk us out of shutting down the highway. So I don't know what it is down in Alabama where you are, but I know what it is up here in St. Louis. They use them damn preachers to dwarf.
Every big pastor you got that's out there that's crooked, you got guys out there in storefronts, guys preaching in their living rooms that's sincere. They got
matter of fact, the head of the Clergy Coalition was Reverend Rice.
It's a bunch of real people out there. Yeah. That's all I'm saying. Everybody's not fake. That's all I'm saying.
Well,
it's a real
Muslim.
It's a real Muslim.
The biggest congregations here, even though you have a 11-block area,
business.
You may have 30 churches, the ones that's leading the biggest congregations here are the ones who don't do that.
Well, you got other churches in Minnesota that may leave a congregation
that may have 10 members on their parking lot on Sunday. They may have 15 cars.
But you can't say that. You can't say that across the board on every guy. Because Fred Price brought in Dr. Claude Anderson on numerous occasions.
I understand that, and that's the thing about Fred Price that I
disagree with. But at the same time, I'm just saying that we have the infrastructure already in place to make a movement. You don't even have – if you don't believe Pianki's fine. But if you want – hold on, let me make one point. If you want what I want and I want what you want, we both want the same thing, we can work together. You ain't got – I mean, that's just the point I'm trying to make, man.
I understand what you're saying, but I'm just telling you what to expect.
I mean, I expect that from niggas. You're talking about niggas. I'm at work. I got to be quiet.
In the past, we haven't had ministers.
We couldn't do that. Draw up enough money to pay your car notes.
Like Leon Sullivan and programs like OIC in the Philadelphia region, where he basically taught people job skills they needed to go back into the workforce. Poor, low income people. You know, so you have
Leon
those
Sullivan,
programs to be developed.
But he had that program in over 160 cities, trained over 700,000 people.
Right.
In 1980.
The problem is you don't have it nationwide, though. It's not national.
Right.
Keep going.
Hey, we're back. And you listen to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. We're headed to the top of the hour. And I'm just trying to get my head wrapped around why things are the way they are, doing what they're doing, and why we are ending up as we are. Hey, don't forget to join Bourbon Framehouse Gallery. They're going to be doing an event Saturday, October the 4th. They're going to have a refreshment and artwork with Noreen Yazarin. Is that her? That's how you pronounce her last name?
I can't see it. Give it to me.
Is it right there in front of you?
Okay.
Is it YZ?
No, it's Yazvac.
Okay, Yazvac.
YZVAC.
Yazvac. And they're going to have photography by John.
By Lori Ramos.
And Jim.
And Jim Schwartz.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I can't tell. I think that's shirt.
I can't see whether that's a D or T-I-S. Listen, the Bourbon Framehouse Gallery is having an event. It's going to be art, there's going to be food, there's going to be refreshments, and there's going to be photography. And it's going to be on October the 4th from 12 until 5 p.m. And it's going to be at 7661 Tiffany Boulevard, which is right in the Marks Plaza. So if you're around that area, please stop in. It's free and open to the public. They'd love to have you come by and tell them that you heard it here on Tracy and Friends.
Uh-huh.
The reason why I'm picking on people because I don't see anybody who wants to fall on their sword for the future.
Or be a martyr for the future.
Yes, but we all want the glory of the martyr. You know, I look at Al Sharpton, he wants the glory of the martyr, but he doesn't want to take the bullet.
Well, Al Sharpton is more of a media employee of NBC. He's not really doing anything.
John, listen. He is a
puppet being used by the media, but how he got there was based upon he was an activist who was supposed to be fighting for the rights of the people of color. And they will tell you on MSNBC, he is the voice of the black community.
That's who he is.
His activism is part of his job description.
John! Yes, go ahead, Michigan. What'd you say?
Remember a few weeks ago you talked about being the best hoe you could be?
Yes.
That is what Al Sharpton is. He is a damn good whore. If you're saying be the best whore you can be in America, this has come out of your mouth, Tracy, then why are you faulting him for being a damn good whore?
Can I talk, please?
No, let me say it this way. Listen, he can be the best, and I don't have a problem with him being the best at it, because, you know, I know some people who do some real dirty, low things, and they're the best at it. And I think whatever you do, you should be the best at it. But I'm trying to tell people that you need to make sure that you know who you're following, because they're speaking on your behalf. And see, when the deal goes down and the popo come, they're going to put y'all in jail because he's the best at what he does.
Well, if I could say something.
Hold on, Pianki. Go ahead. Good job.
All I was going to say is, if I'm going to be a hoe, Michigan, I'm going to be a hoe to feed and protect my people, family, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not going to be a hoe just to
Listen to me, please.
I'm not going to be the hoe just to feed myself. I can feed myself all by myself. I don't need you or others, but I'm going to do this because I'm going to be the hoe to get so that I can show my people how to get out of where they're at, because I believe they're in a place to be killed.
Michigan, listen to this. I think you got that one wrong. He ain't the prostitute. He the pimp. Go ahead.
He's both of them. He's a pimp on the second tier with the black community, but he is the European white culture hoe.
No, he's the pimp. No, he the pimp. He's right about the European white culture.
The pimp, liberal pimp, to the black community, correct. But he is the white man's whore. Now, Jeff, Al Sharpton does not have to be a fighter for the people. This is America, right? He can be a whore for himself. Don't he have that right?
Absolutely.
But he don't have that skill.
But that's what he's doing. Him and Jeff are living quite well.
Well, leave him alone.
Well, my thing is that they get too much doggone credibility, and number two, somebody dares think that he speaks for me, and he hasn't spoke for me for the past 25 years. When I saw him 25 years ago, and he was saying be self-reliant and be, you know, and let's get independent away from these systems. Now he ain't saying that.
What has to happen is if there's going to be an opposition –
he has to be removed.
No, he doesn't. What you have to do is offer the people an alternative. So when the
you can't
whore,
see the
well,
wait,
go ahead, go hold on, Michigan, go ahead, Pianki.
Al Sharpton's organization is in 80 cities, according to this website. Look to me like you got people in these cities that like what he's doing. And that goes back to the point that there's a website. I put the link in there. He's in over 80 cities.
Hold on. He's not. They're not getting paid like you think. He went around and he had lieutenants. He had people that were that he before he got on MSNBC, before he had the money. He was organizing. I mean, because you have to understand, he is a very, very bright man. He understands it. He knows what he's in.
That doesn't even make good logic. If you use that logic, Pianki, that means then the black community likes what the church is doing because you have 15 in one square block. So the sheer number of those buildings or the sheer number of those people being led does not mean that that is good for liberation. You just got through railing on the church, so you got I can peek out the window now and probably count 15 churches. So if you're using that logic, Bianchi, within the people like what the church are doing because they're going there and they're supporting it. So now see how that doesn't make sense?
Hold on, Bianchi. I think Bianchi is very, very smart.
He's brilliant.
You've got to give him credit.
Smart, brilliant.
But inside of that, he understands how to organize people and he understands how to motivate people. He's very good at it. And to get people to work for free.
Yeah.
He does the same thing that Magic Johnson is beginning to do, and this is what scares me about him. He's organizing black markets to sell them back to white folks.
Correct.
Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, they organized the black vote to send it back to white folks. That's it. It's not that hard.
And it is a problem for us because we think that he's coming and he's going to we think that when he goes before us, he's representing us for what we need.
Correct.
And then he comes back to us and he tells us that this is what you need to do, and there are those that follow him. Just like you still got Zimmerman, I think he got arrested over the weekend for doing something else dumb. We still think that Zimmerman killed that young boy because he was black and not because he was crazy. We still have people that are marching for something that we don't know anything about, and he creates a ruckus. But at the end of the day, we still lose because if he was going to do something, he would be proactive about what he's doing, and he's not.
Well,
you don't see him influencing legislation before legislation is passed.
Of course he's not. Well, if you're going to keep it in that light, Tracy, then what good citizens who say that they're out for the good of the people and the liberation of their people, then you have to offer the prostitute something different. Why are you guys making it that hard?
Because of this?
Okay. To Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton.
Okay.
I got this alternative.
No, I know what you mean. I got the alternative, but you know what? Jesse Jackson and them keep giving false narratives to the people that I'm trying to talk to. And when they tell them that I'm bad because I sit around with people that don't like them, but yet they're sitting up there without a pot or a window listening to them and marching down the street, getting out a doggone thing for all these things where they're not included or they're being discriminated against for real, and then they lie about who's discriminated against them.
Don't you? Let me
give y'all one quick example, Tracy. We were doing some political work in our community, and we were talking to a white CEO. Now, he probably employed about 200 to 250 people. And you know what he told me and my partner? He said, I see the work that you guys are doing in the community. Very, very brilliant. So let me give you an example. He said, I'll bring all of my employees out and give you guys a microphone, and y'all can offer them any suggestions, any political direction, or anything you want. I'll give you the mic. He said, but right after you all get through talking, I'm going to talk, and I'm going to offer them political direction. Which one do you think they're going to follow? You
his.
Or me?
But let me also say
they're going to follow that owner.
Let me say this.
Living on the plantation. That's the reason why they're going to follow the white man.
Him. He's feeding them.
They got plantations in their mind.
If you employ your people, it doesn't have to be seen as a plantation. What the point that he was making was, I'm employing these people. I have influence over them. When you guys create some jobs, then you can give direction.
It's proven that that's not always true because you have these idiots listen to what I'm saying. You have those idiots in the fast food industry going on strike, talking about we need $15 an hour. And they're going against the person that's feeding them and the people that are promising this minimum wage that's not going to help them. They don't know that. They believe the lie. And that's the problem is what I'm saying. I have the alternative that would make us be independent.
But let me say this, Jeff. Let me say this about what I agree. But we fail to realize in a massive way that there are people that pay to keep people enslaved mentally.
Of course, absolutely.
And as long as we keep them ignorant, we always have people who are employees. And we need to make sure that we begin to free people's minds. You got to understand, as long as we are behind the ball and we don't have our own economic resources,
correct,
we will always be where we are. But until we start influencing legislation, until we start making it to where we can actually start employing, until we start coming out of our slave mentality, and understand me, we need to understand that there are people who are selling us out. They really are. Like I said, how do you have the NFL making that kind of money and you don't have access to any of it, but yet you walking around with a shirt on, but you don't have license to sell it? How is it that we're walking around, we're walking around with Coach and Louie and Gooey and all them other people on our behinds and on our purses? And we make
them
into something.
That's all NFL players are, high-paid slaves. Most of those NFL
NBA
players.
No, they're not slaves. They're the same kind of slaves that we are. They're gladiators.
They're employees.
Athletes. That's what they are.
High-paid employees. Who,
and you know what
they
else, too, Tracy?
They're going to lose everything.
You know, if I can say something, Tracy.
Hold on, listen. And do you understand they control you so much they control you how, what you do, what you live, and how you live? So now we're telling you, you can't raise your kids the way you want to. And let me make an example out of you.
RG3 was told he cannot put on a sweatshirt that says no Jesus, no peace.
Sure was.
Okay, he's an indentured servant if he has to obey that rule. That is not their business.
As slaves or indentured servants.
John, please hold on. That's why I describe them as indentured servants. Because, indentured servants are there willingly. They're not there against their will.
You can't tell me what I can wear. It's America.
And
I ain't on the football field.
That's the point.
Go ahead, Bianchi.
Let me say, we had a lady here that had on a button that said, "I love being black," during the time that people had on buttons say, "Kiss me, I'm Irish." And she got fired. So that when you're in a work environment, you have to adhere to the environment that is being controlled by your employee. Those people are not no slaves. Why do we have this animosity?
Wait a minute. You can't get paid, Jeff. You can't. She ain't going to get paid because she ain't got an attorney that's going to take her case.
Oh, I don't know.
Who is that?
The lady who had to take off the button. Did she sue?
I don't know if she sued or not. But the thing is that I didn't allow employees to wear certain things on my jobs.
Again, when you're at work, you're at work. But this guy wasn't at work.
Well, but NFL players are a representative on and off the field. And you know they're black, they're going to be scrutinized in everything that they do in the first place. So to say, why is there such an animosity to black people that make millions of dollars?
That's the thing, though, Bianchi. Like I noticed when they had that thing with the L.A. Clippers, everybody was calling these guys slaves. I'm like, look, I played basketball. I wouldn't have been a slave had they paid me $5, $6, $8 million a year to run up and down the floor and do what I love. And you go home. You want to quit. Go home. Do what you want to do. I hate to hear that. If I have a child, he want to play sports. I'm not against that. He's gonna be more intelligent. He's just an athlete. But it's nothing wrong with sports.
I guess my grandson's a slave, being that he received $5,000 and $10,000 scholarships by playing baseball when he was 12 years old.
You guys are messing around with the minutia and the.
Thank you.
You guys, you're dealing with minutia right here. It's crazy. What I said was, and what we're trying to say is, you are controlled by the masses. And in the control by the masses,
Those owners
you're going
control
to have
you.
To, you're going to have to take, I'm talking about you, me, we're all, as long as we're getting a check and we're not independently wealthy and have our own economic stability, we're controlled by someone. And until we understand that we need to be free so that we can stand on our own two feet, educate our children, and give them what they need so that they can have a future. But we don't invest in our own.
But Tracy, the thing about it is even when you're making those statements like that, now we'll, 2 days from now, if somebody rolls out a plan for black independent schools, black entrepreneurship, keeping the money, you'll be the first one talking about, I don't see color, this America. So
no, come on. Come on.
Hold on,
Michigan. You don't listen to the
Michigan,
show, Michigan.
You know what? You got two ears, but you don't hear. Let me say this to you. All money is green, and I am included in America. I understand that, but I understand I'm excluded from America, and they really don't give a rat's butt about me. I understand that. I know I'm black. Don't get it twisted. Do not ever get that twisted. But just because I tell you that I'm American and I can exercise my right, now I may have to fight over the obstacles of being black, but I'm not going to let the color of my skin hinder the excellence of my mind. And I'm not going to tell any other child that looks like me to do so also.
You
got to go
get
yours, you overcome it, and you become what you choose.
If I can say something.
And the problem is we use our color as a crutch.
Too much.
We use our color as an enabler and to make us handicapped, and you make it as an obstacle so that you can overcome it and become who you are. And then don't forget to bring people that look like you out. Because I'm tired of being on the bottom of the list, waiting for somebody else to dig me out, because we don't lift people up in our own community.
If I could put a point out, please.
You better make it quick, because I'm almost done in 3 minutes. Go ahead.
You know, one of the things that I bring up all the time is that, you know, you have black athletes on the football field and on the basketball court that's drawing tremendous audiences and tremendous revenues to those two sports, which provide scholarships for other athletics that black children don't even indulge in. That
that's
in itself is a travesty. You're right.
That's our problem. We can't help we don't play golf. Golf is a good scholarship.
Can I interject one thing? You know what amazes me? LeBron has been in the league 10, 11 years, been getting millions of dollars. He wants the league. He wants the league max. He goes back to Cleveland. If you really care, if LeBron was to go out and start his own league, he could probably take half the best players in the league with him. He has the money to start his own league, build his own brand, and he's LeBron James. If you're going to lose some people, yeah, but – this is what I'm saying. I mean, it's like these guys get 8, 10, 15, 20 million, and they broke 3 years later. That's the problem. They don't have the knowledge to keep the money that they get. I'm not a slave if you pay me $8 million. Next year you come back, I'll probably turn your money down because I already got more.
But let me say, LeBron will not be one of the broke ones. He's going to be like Magic. You know, LeBron has been gifted and been blessed to have some people around him that's going to make him solid. That's a given. And I just, and you may or may not want to take the up the endeavor of becoming starting up a new franchise. I understand all that, but there are other things out there. Again, there are other things out there that we can do. There are other things out there that we can become. There are other things out there we can invest in. And if the question is, when will we say enough is enough and quit laying down to the liberal society who steps all over us and then being excluded from the conservative society who doesn't think of us?
And you know another point, too, why come LeBron, they can't start their own league because of the backlash. St. Louis don't have a basketball team, a professional basketball team. They did, but
it
went to Atlanta.
The problem is this. You have people here that are afraid, even when they have money, to go out and venture and do something.
We've been indoctrinated to be afraid.
That's what I'm saying. So you're scared to death. You don't realize that, okay, I got like $50 million in the bank. That's a lot of clout. And if I can put it with two other guys, $50 million, we can buy our own team, start our own team.
But you got, let me tell you, Jeff, we don't work together well.
I understand that.
And when I don't trust you.
I don't trust you.
There's a process to start a professional baseball, a basketball, baseball, football team.
You're not. You're, I'm going to say this, you will never stop
Walter
the need. Hold on. Bianchi, point of clarity, you will never start another baseball league. They cut that out. They put that into law federally because that's the only monopoly that America has actually come along and put a federal law in. You will never start another Negro League. It's against the law.
Well, I'm saying that you got a women's basketball league. Their top players probably earn about $60,000 a year.
Again, what were you saying? What were you saying, Michigan? I gotta go. Hi, Stanley. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. I just want to say something. The problem of what you're saying, Tracy, and I agree with what you're saying. Not a perfect example of this is a lot of black people don't want to know how to improve themselves. You could, I'm telling you, as a black man, it is very frustrating when you see black people and you want to help them. You have a course that's worth $5,000 or $10,000. You get them for free to them. And you say, you know what? You're having problem with having money? You can't just stop looking at a job. Here's a course that's worth $5,000, but hey, you know what? I've done it. I'll give it to you for free. Just do it. And they come back to me with that, and I'll help you out. Any question? 1 month later, nothing. 2 months later, nothing. How the hell you want to help those people?
Stanley, let me say this. Let me tell you. I'm gonna close on this. We have to understand the same people that are in the NBA, the same people that we're talking about the NFL, the same people that we're talking about the National Baseball League, are the same people who never went four blocks from their house growing up. There's a lot of them that have been indoctrinated to be where they are and to be sheltered, and we need to understand that.
That's why Umar Johnson's school makes sense for Umar Johnson to have a school so kids can graduate well-rounded and know how to handle money.
Absolutely, because remember, there's a great sect of the economy that they don't go a mile past their home, ever.
Sure that.
And those are athletes. But then we are those of us that know better. We don't go in and support them and teach them better because all we want to do is use them for their money. And they can't trust us because we've been taught to not trust people that look like us. And when we do, we actually mess it up. We go work for the black man and don't show up at work like we should. We go work for the black man and we don't do as we should. We don't work to make his business better. We work to tear it down. Oh, brother, you got to hook a brother up. No, you don't need to hook up. I need you to come to work and do a job. That's what's right. Well, listen, go ahead, Stanley.
And the only thing also I would add also, we don't have the philosophy to respect when a black man has a degree or something, we wanted to have it for free. But if a white person asks us, look, you got to pay $2,000 or $1,000 to repair your computer, we'll pay it. But if a black man knows how to do the job and tells you, you still have to pay $1,000, we're a black man, we're going to say, hey, man, you're a brother, man. You can give it for me for free. Really?
That's right. That's how they work. And instead of, and let me also say this as the end, and I'm going to let you guys just go into the chat room and do what you do. When you have a problem with me, you ought to bring it to me. You don't have to put it in the newspaper. And then I, as a business owner, I need to rectify the problem that you have with the product that I'm selling because we don't do that.
Right.
If you don't like the product that I'm selling, if you have a problem with my service, if you have a problem with what I'm doing, then you need to come to me and say, Tracy, this is it. I'm not coming to here, and you need to correct this. I'm not coming back, but I tell you what, I won't tell anybody as long as you clean this up. I'll see you guys tomorrow. Have a good day. And you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSUM 800, the number 347.
Yeah. Anybody there?
Yeah, so yo, ain't nothing wrong with – you guys need to stop jumping on Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson. They got an organization that people want.
Wait, I know. I agree with you.
I think people are just jealous because Al Sharpton is in 80-some-odd city.
Yeah, and that's what I said.
And got black folks that come out every month to meetings, whereas they can't get nobody to come out and listen to them.
Yeah.
I'd agree. Yeah, just leave them alone.
Bianchi and Michigan, I got to give you respect. I was very happy that you called yesterday to the show and represent men because, man, yesterday Jesus Christ, they made me feel like I was alone. I was like, I was, thank God you two called, because, man, I felt like,
well,
man,
keep calling
maybe I'm
on that guy, you gon' you keep calling on that guy, you will be alone.
I'm good. Yeah, you know what, though? You know what's funny? The guys that you, Al Sharpton and Jesse, the thing is that kind of makes it hard to get to, I guess, cooperate with these guys in my book is I know the documentation of how these guys were so pro-black and pro, now they have diversity, they're homeless, they're pro. They stole us up the river. I mean, especially Jesse with abortion. Jesse was, he used to run with the pamphlet. Jesse done sold us way out, man. Like, that's on the team.
Yeah, we got to quit. We got to assess this thing correctly. Jesse Jackson, they're not pro-black. They're not liberation fighters. They are a tool within European culture to organize black markets. And let's quit bull. I mean, it's, you know.
I disagree with you, Michigan man.
Okay,
and let me tell you something. That's why I come. If you had a business, I think it would be a failure. I'm going to tell you why. Because you alienate part of your market. Jesse Jackson is not going to alienate part of his market. Don't you know that?
Like that. Oh, I got you,
women,
Michigan.
Michigan
is smarter than that now. He's smarter than
that. I have several businesses, and seven of them are not even in the black community. I understand my market very well.
Well, are you telling your market that they shouldn't have abortions?
Of course not.
Hello?
That's not the business I'm in.
Are you telling your market that they supposed to? Are you telling your market that they supposed to look toward Africa? Huh?
It depends on
what. No, he's taking their dollar. He's taking the dollar and he's looking towards Africa.
Well, then they doing the same thing.
I'm good.
I just assessed them correctly. I said exactly what they are. They're delivering the black market. For the Europeans. Now you can say you disagree.
Not necessarily. Not necessarily. If a black business, look at just, you know that much of your blacks that own fast food franchises was owned.
Al Sharpton is a CIA informant. I mean, how is that not slicing?
Fiat. Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson, monetary support comes from the white corporate structure. They don't get a dime.
Wait a minute. I want you to, let's me and you have this conversation. You tell me one time when blacks have financed their own quote unquote change here in America.
I'm gonna tell you. AG Gaston financed a lot. In fact, Shuttlesworth and all those guys out of Birmingham said the way for him the civil rights movement when it went forth. So black people have finance.
Well, it was Andrew Bellin's daughter
daughter.
The civil rights movement went no place without the Mellons, man. Come on.
The UNIA. You asked a question. The UNIA with Marcus Garvey, this guy raised millions of dollars.
That's
correct.
Black markets. Bianchi, quick cut it out, man. What product or service does Al Sharpton sell?
What do you mean, what product? He's not in the business to be a manufacturer or retailer.
So what is he selling?
He addresses the concerns of people in cities that's having civil rights problems.
Give me an example of how he addresses it.
He came to St. Louis and brought attention to the highway shutdown in 1999, where blacks was complaining that there wasn't any blacks on the projects that was coming through North St. Louis. The project began all the way down in South St. Louis on Highway 55, came up, hit through the intersection, and when it was coming through North St. Louis, those contractors did not have black employees or nor using any black contractors.
Listen, Al Sharpton.
You asked me, I told you.
You gave me a project, which I guess what we're saying is,
now, you want to know what came out of that?
What came out of that was a training center.
You're not going to talk. Michigan, man, go ahead. When you get done talking, let me know.
Okay. Because
you say this stuff all the time.
Well, because it's the truth. And the numbers
It's not the truth. It's not totally true. What came out of that highway shutdown was a training center, the Met Center, which have trained thousands of black people. That's why Tracy always cutting you off, man. Now, when you get done talking, let me know.
Can I jump in? Since you guys are going ahead.
I want to tell y'all what came out of the highway shutdown.
Al Sharpton was an informant in Asada Shakur. Asada Shakur.
Everybody
knows.
You've said it a million times, Bianca.
I have not said it a million times. I only have to say it when you're around.
Got a training project and got some blacks from jobs.
I done two bridges out of it, which I normally don't do those type.
Okay, so now what we want to do is put that in.
I had iron workers working on the bridges, making money so that they could better their lives and their families.
I got you. Put that into the body of all of his work. And that's going
to pass. No, I didn't say all of his work. I say what he done when he came here to St. Louis, like you asked.
Okay, that's one project. We're talking about what he's done for the black community over the whole.
He's not supposed to do for the over the whole.
I'm not.
He can't do for over the whole. He's in 80 cities in Michigan, man.
Listen, I already told you he can do what he want to do. I'm just telling you, if you want to make people smarter, then you tell
people. Well, let me ask you something. What is Pan-Africanism? What economic venture, other than Marcus Garvey and Elijah Muhammad, Elijah Muhammad wasn't no Pan-African. What have Pan-African and black nationalists done economically?
What you mean?
Hello?
I can name you two or three. You want me to go personally?
What have Pan-Africans and black nationals have done at that type of magnitude like I just got through talking about?
Well, the brother just gave you the example of Marcus Garvey. Had
I said other than Marcus Garvey.
Okay, have black folks, well, that's plenty of
recently,
doing economic work.
In our lifetimes.
The Pan-African movement is not marketable here in America, so of course you're not going to see anything. You know
all right,
that.
Then what has the black nationalist movement done economically
black
in our lifetime?
Black nationalism is not marketable in America. You know that?
Well,
too.
what have We Down for the Cause done marketable?
Who is that?
Huh?
Who is that? I don't know who that is.
The ones that you're representing.
I don't represent no Down for the Cause.
But what do you represent
then? I'm a Pan-Africanist. Are you asking me personally what I've done?
Well, tell me something that the Pan-Africans have done economically that's down for the cause. What have they formed?
Of course, as I say, it's not marketable here in America. That's why I'm.
Well, what
I'm
are you talking? What have they done parallel to what an Al Sharpton and a Jesse Jackson have done? What have they done that was parallel to the boycott that led to blacks having franchises in your likes of your McDonald's, your Burger Kings, your Burger Shelves, and so on and so on?
Pan-Africanism, and you know that. Corporate America would never put a dollar behind Pan-Africanism. You know that. What's wrong with you? Come on.
How are you trying to get the money then? How are you trying to get the money to get all these things, these ambitions done then, Michigan man?
You got to organize Pan-Africans. That's what you got to do. And
J2, who's dead now out of New York, and then help form the Council of Black Council of Independent Black Institutions. Where's those institutions at today?
Because it's not marketable here, dude. What don't you,
what do you mean it's not marketable? They had over 80 schools across the country. Now, where are they today? They got six schools in the whole nation. Why come?
Because they have no market. Because no parents are interested in sending their kids, nor can they
afford. All right, let me ask you a question. So I'm a millionaire. Why would I get involved in something that nobody's interested in, but you got a few out here that call themselves black nationalists are? Huh?
Listen, to be a Pan-Africanist, who says you have to invest your damn money here? What are you talking about? Economically, Pan-Africanist, the money's not even here. It's on the continent, which you already know. So why are you Mickey Mousing around about?
Brother, you know doggone world, black Americans is not going to African continent and
I'm
be successful at nothing.
Black
they
American.
Can't be at the end of their block here in the United States. with all the programs and things that's available to them. So what are they going to an African continent, an African country for? Come on, man, be for real.
Of course, I know that. Wait a minute. You act like I'm trying to make an African-American be a Pan-Africanist. I'm just laying out the facts. I don't give a damn if you don't.
So the way Al Sharpton Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson has formed their organization, they did it in the best interest of the people that they represent. Nobody's making those people join those organizations.
And that's why I don't talk about them. I just told you what they are. I'm telling you what type of business they're in. I didn't talk against them. You just heard them tell Tracy.
Also, guys, you guys have been going for a minute. I've been listening. I just want to
go ahead, Alabama.
Two things. One point I want to make is that the government specifically targeted organizations that were trying to implement certain things throughout the black nationalism. Number one. Number two, Al Sharpton is a FBI informant, so he by definition, is he's done things. Jesse Jackson, Jesse's been going on foreign countries and negotiating, doing things, representing the whole country. I don't think it's safe to say Jesse is just so super pro-black. I just don't think that. But
there's a lot of FBI come to a lot of black people to ask them to be informed. They came to Ron Mallett, astrophysicist Ron Mallett, and tried to get him to be informed. Read his story. They come to everybody.
Yeah,
that's nothing new.
That's why you don't get. That's why I would. That's why you don't sidetrack shit. I don't give a damn.
No. But Al Sharpton was specifically involved in the Carter Shakur being indicted by the FBI. He helped.
He's not for black. He's not for the liberation of black folks. He is a businessman operating in the European culture. Period. And he sells markets. He sells the black vote. Period.
When you had the black caucus, you had the black congressmen and women to vote for a bill that went after Chessie McIntyre. Who is Chessie McIntyre? Huh?
Who is it? You tell us.
She shot up Shakur.
Okay.
They didn't even know her real name. So is they any better? Are they any better or worse than what you're trying to claim Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson is?
They just
a black legislator? Of course not. He's in business too. A black legislator in the United States is an entrepreneur. They organize black energy and votes to turn.
Well, then
the
that's what, then it seems like that's what they're supposed to be doing. It seems like if that's the
that's
way
right.
the table is laid, then somebody needs to take advantage of that.
I agree. That's what I'm saying. I don't know why you argue with me. What's happening is when I say something, must hit a nerve in you somewhere. Now, you got to work that shit out.
I get sick and tired of people always talking about what Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson not. 30 years ago, you'd be jumping up and down happy to see them come on the scene. As I said before, Jesse Jackson's boycott of, what is it, Burger King? And I can't think of the affiliate. That opened the door for blacks to be able to have franchises in those fast food restaurants. Then they went back and hit them again because they say you only giving us franchises in the poor areas.
Can I interject something? One thing about these guys that I don't like per se myself is that when they go ask for something, they don't go for the whole pie. They go for just a little small crumb. They go for, okay, well, let's get unemployment benefits. Let's get, to be able to get franchises that's owned by a white man. He's still going to make money off that. Instead of saying, let's get business loans, let's get land, let's get equipment, let's do our own. They don't think like that.
And the thing about it,
well,
the same,
you have to do it small.
The same franchises that you're saying that they're opening the door for, these guys are entrepreneurs, which I have no problem with them. Jesse and them own some of those franchises.
There's
nothing wrong with that.
Case in point in Chicago. In Chicago, they had a situation with Budweiser. Budweiser was being racist to the employees. Jesse came in, said something, negotiated. His son got a place on the board, and the workers didn't get jacked.
The workers wasn't going to get a place on the board.
They didn't get a place on the board, but they didn't get the complaints that they were having didn't get served up.
That's all. They just had a complaint, and they said they called him in. All he did was get paid.
So
I know the problem they had here with Anheuser-Busch. This was the home of Anheuser-Busch. And the same similar problems of discrimination. You got blacks working all in Anheuser-Busch. Gates have a distributorship. I don't know if he still got it now. I don't even know if he's still alive. But those things open up the doors that permit. And, you know, you can't go – if you open up a door of an era you ain't never been in before, you can't ask for 1,000 when you can't even man 25.
That's understandable.
I think that's
now you
got to, let me tell you something. I think the problems we're facing today are due to the fact that one generation fell asleep.
The bottom line is, when you're going asking them for anything, do you think they're going to give you more than what they know they need to give you anyway? So, I mean, we shouldn't even have no high expectations. If you're going and asking them for their franchises that they put together in the management system, do you think that they've got uncles and cousins and nieces and nephews that they want to give franchises to?
But the thing that you want, though, is you want to control those franchises in your community and also span out a little bit further. And that's exactly what you're seeing. We got the black man that owns Popeye Chicken Restaurant. He gives very handily to the Demetrius Johnson Foundation, which does marvelous things with the black children here in this community. So that's the way you got to do it. You got to have business people that can contribute and use the tax system in order to do so, in order to support black activities, whereas black kids would otherwise go unheeded.
And that's what I'm saying to you. And so when you talk about turning political power into economic power, Al Sharpton and Jesse and them know how to do that. But you won't see them down in those Ferguson communities. Well, I tell you what, we'll take a look at Ferguson in 2 years down the road. Now, if you see that business culture change and go back into black hands, if you see those middle-class jobs, teachers, police officers, go back into the black hands, then go look at the infrastructure, who made that happen. Now, if that was Jesse's intention, they have the research, they have the bodies, and they even have the money. They can go down there and help put that infrastructure together tomorrow. Now, cut it out, and you know they can.
Well, put what infrastructure together? Come on now. What are they supposed to do? Put up money for somebody to open a business that may fail? No. He done what he was supposed to do. He done an eloquent job on CNN talking about the situation.
He can put together a PAC.
Well, he's supposed to get paid. Look how many black leaders in the past have died, and they had to pass the pot around to bury the man.
I
can name a whole bunch of them. Chancellor Williams, he couldn't be buried. You got Dr. Ben in an old folks' home someplace. White control one at that. John G. Jackson, you couldn't bury him.
I think he's back at home now. But you are right. He was in one. But listen.
Let me tell you something. You depend on black folks paying your way.
You
crazy.
Go down there and change and run some political candidates, put some political candidates in office in Ferguson, and then once you get them in there, change the organizational structure of the police department. Cut it out, Bianca. You know that can be done. It's been done.
Well, that is being done.
Okay.
What we need Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton to do is get this city on the world scene. And they've done a very eloquent, you know, he done an eloquent job at it. Now it's up to the people to do those things. You can't make people do something that they don't have the will to do.
Okay, well, where's the last city he did that at and the people took it and ran with it? When did that happen? Tell me what city that's happened in.
I told you he done it here in 1999.
Yeah. Well, you don't want me to bring up Marcus Garvey, but you bringing up 1999.
I said in my life, Marcus Garvey was not in your lifetime, Michigan man. You're not that old.
And if you want to bring up
Marcus Garvey organization, would have been Jack if it hadn't been for Collie House.
For who?
Nobody talks about her.
Do you know Collie House, Michigan,
no,
man?
Who is it? No, you tell me who it is.
Matter of fact, our organization was twice as big as Marcus Garvey's, UNIA.
Yeah, what's the name of it? What's the name of it? Hey,
you need to do some studies, man.
No, you're a joke.
Bianchi's not going to say anything that he cannot prove. So there's one person you ain't got to worry about is snowing somebody. I ain't going to snow nobody.
No, you're a joke.
College House organization was twice as big as Marcus Garvey.
Okay. Well, what's the name of it?
Frances Berry wrote a book on her. The title of the book is My Face is Black is True. She started the ex-slave mutual benefit and pension fund organization. Went to jail. Brought up some trumped-up charges the same way. Matter of fact, it was her treatment that gave the blueprint for the way they treated Marcus Garvey and continue to treat activists today. Except for one thing. They used the postmaster to go after her.
Okay.
Because they was communicating with black folks through the mail. Had over 400,000 people in the organization.
Well, I just say this before we get on the phone. Me assessing Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson was not for you. And anybody who's listening, it's for anybody who may not.
Am I muted? Can you guys hear me?
In this country. Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, so hold on. Marcus Garvey had 18 million strong. You said 400,000, right?
No, Marcus Garvey didn't have no 18 million strong.
How many did he have, Bianchi? 200,000?
About 250,000. Same thing that the Nation of Islam had.
You can go to the UNIA right now. The organization is still in existence, and they still have the numbers from the readership. From just the newspaper, that was over 5 million worldwide. Now, what is you talking about?
Readership, people worldwide talk about here
in New York.
In New York, that's what I'm saying. In New York, he had about a quarter of a million.
That's what showed up to his country.
That's right. He was over where they couldn't even fly the shit over there. He was getting it over there. What are you talking about? Yeah, but in villages,
how could he raise millions of dollars with just 250,000 black people in 1920s?
How many millions did he raise?
He was buying ships. He turned down money from white philanthropists. I mean, I think you're a very knowledgeable guy. I'm just saying. I think everybody on this phone is halfway knowledgeable and knows some that you may not know.
Let's come a little bit closer to us. Tell me how big his organization was.
It was
membership.
Estimates of at least 15.
I mean, just think about that. How big was his staff?
At least 15 million, dude. He had 15 million strong in the UNIA.
No, I said how big was his
staff? How big was his staff? In Alabama was in the UNIA.
If you're saying that 15 million in 1919 was it with Marcus Garvey?
Yeah, up through the 20s, yeah.
Well, that was damn near every man, woman, child in the United States. And you know that wasn't true.
Wait a minute. No, that's not true. That's not true because we had 30 million black people in 33 million in 1962. I know that well documented.
You're not talking about just the United States either. I don't know why. See, I have to know that. Marcus Garvey was not just in the United States.
Well, if he wasn't just in the United States, Michigan, man, how do you give account for the ones that, quote-unquote, was not in the United States? You don't have no means of doing that.
Well, hold on. Let me ask you this, Bianchi. Why is it that because of this lady that you said had 250,000 people,
she had 400,000.
Okay, 400. Why is it this lady was the reason that Marcus Garvey wouldn't have been nothing had it not been for her?
Because her membership went over to his.
Bianchi brings up strong arguments.
But
man.
You just said he had 250,000.
He brings up strong arguments at really strategic times when you're having good conversations. Now, why he does that, I don't know. He brings up strong arguments. Now, we're not talking about who's competing against Marcus Garvey or whether or not we know somebody who has more membership than Marcus Garvey. What the hell does that do with the core what we're talking about?
Because nobody wants to give this black woman credit. They never talk about her.
I believe there's a lot of unsung black people out there. I think everybody on the phone agree with that.
Yeah, so what? How did that?
And the system went out, and the system went after her with fervor with what they had to go after her with. And she was just asking for a mere pension for slaves coming out of slavery. They didn't have anything else.
As an entrepreneur in America just like you, Bianchi, a vested interest of seeing that the American system can work for a few blacks as it relates to entrepreneur and shit like that, I would agree. So, but I'm not selling America to the masses because I know, to the masses of blacks, because it cannot be sold to them. And that's what you're trying to do. And you got
to
cut
it. What do you mean? I'm not trying to sell America. The masses of blacks are Americans.
You're trying to sell the masses.
The United States citizens. Are you saying that they're not United States citizens?
Yeah, man, I'm not going to play that game with you, Bianca. Because that doesn't even make a difference.
Well, let me ask you this. Are you a United States citizen?
That's a strong argument, too, because I don't pass out no passports, and neither do you. So what? Why do you need to know that?
Let me ask you a question. Are you a U.S. citizen?
What difference does it make? I'm a citizen of the. I'm a citizen of Pluto. You got Pluto?
How many businesses do you have?
Yeah, I'm a citizen of Pluto.
But Pianchi, let me interject something. This is the thing. We all as black people, we all started from nothing. I don't want to get into an argument or shout match or insult you, man, but it just bothers me when I hear older people talk down on younger people about what they have. It makes it seem like we're trying to build something. Because one day you asked me, have you ever built a 100-story building? You can't do that. And I'm like, okay, do you own it? Like, that's the thing. Like, why we got to get into this tug of war of who has the biggest dick? Like, let's just get out here.
Well, that was
and
probably
build.
That was
We're
that was probably
at the
that
end
was
of the
probably
day.
Associated. It was probably associated with 9/11. I don't talk down. Matter of fact, I
well,
tell
no,
young
you,
people
I,
the reason
we
why
I
come.
On 9/11. It wasn't about 9/11 because I don't believe that joke.
I tell
went
young
down like
people.
Anyway.
I tell young people today one of the reasons of their demise is because the previous generations didn't leave them with anything to build off of.
I mean, yeah, but if Michigan's trying to build, and I've spoken extensively with Michigan for a few hours, Michigan is a brother that's about his business. I'm a Christian. Now one of y'all are Christians on this own, but we all agree on certain points, and we're trying to build as a people. All we need is three or four people. Every black person ain't going to be wise enough to get in and come in and line up and do things. But we just need a few.
I agree with that.
It just takes five or six to get out here and build something, though, man. Like, it just... Sometimes I get it bothers me when I have to justify my credentials of owning something. Like, you can say hit dogs holler. Yeah, I had money, and I'm trying to build back to where I was, and I'm trying to get out of the hole that I got in with this housing bubble that really ain't had nothing to do with. Some white folks in Wall Street stripped me of my money, basically. But at the same time...
Well, I got a housing bubble in 1995. I think
that
it was...
Saying,
no,
right
no
now,
I'm sorry,
2005. It's time for us to get to not go at each other so harshly against each other and just focus on.
Well, the thing is that I say when I hear people,
we can build and own something.
See, but Alabama, you got people coming from all. You got those who say that black folks ain't Americans, ain't United States citizens. I don't say American. I say United States. They are United States citizens.
But that point don't really mean nothing at the end of the day because what are we going to do now? If I think I'm a free cattle. That's really only got my rights through the 14th and 15th, the amendments on the Constitution, but I'm really still considered cattle technically. And you don't, and you think we're American? As long as we come together,
black folks, we got to do. Nobody, there's
there
not where
people,
you
I'm not
can
saying,
re-
look,
there's
Pianchi,
no there's no legal
that
documents
argument.
That you can show where they consider blacks in America
Pianchi,
as cattle.
Nobody's even trying to make that. I wasn't making that argument. I'm telling you that there are people that will make that argument. I didn't say I was. I'm just saying, regardless of the fact, it to me, the main thing, the most important thing that we should be on this phone talking about is, you know, is building as a people. And I look at guys like Al and Jesse, and I see Al and Jesse as counter-revolutionary. I do.
They are.
Well, I don't see them as being counter-revolutionary because they do make changes for the people that come to them.
But they give you peanuts. They give us crumbs and peanuts to keep us appeased.
It depends on what a person's asking for, brother. What is the people asking for?
I agree. Hold on. But see, that therein goes to that generation you just was talking about that marched for jobs and benefits instead of marching for damn businesses, land, and equipment and money. That's what we should be focusing on, not –
Nobody's going to support that operation if they asking for land, equipment, and such and such and such. How are they going to keep the lights turned on?
Wait a minute, Martin Luther King. We did do that, and we were getting some sort of way. We were getting some sort of inroads in, and then the government went out and killed and kept. Now they keep these niggas right here talking about jobs and benefits.
Right.
It's just we playing checkers. They playing chess.
Absolutely. Just as their marketing and shit don't kick in until there's a social dilemma. So that tells you right there, if you're talking about being a revolutionary and for black empowerment, that has to be done proactively. So it can't even be done when you're coming down to somebody's town but somebody got clucked upside the head with a billy club and now you're organizing black or giving it national media attention. Hell, national media attention making money. I mean, we're playing the game.
It's making money. You got to have money. What black organization don't ask for money? When your speakers come in, you mean to tell me that Wilson, you mean to tell me that Walt Williams, they come in for nothing? Rashida, they come in for nothing?
No, all I'm saying is what you need to do is make sure that you tell people what that's jacking them off. They're not for the organization and the liberation of black people. They're businessmen operating in a European culture, and they're doing well.
Well, they're supposed to do well. What are they supposed to do? What are they supposed to do, man? Live out of the back of a car? Come on, man.
I didn't say this.
He's not even coming at you, though. He's just making a statement.
I understand, but I'm disagreeing with what I'm trying to get the logic out of what he's saying, Alabama. They supposed to do well. Now they supposed to do well, right?
I didn't say they weren't supposed to do well. I'm telling you.
Did you know that Dr. Ben has a degree in engineering and what else?
Yeah.
And he gave all that up to do what he done?
Now what you're going to say, I'm talking against education?
No, I ain't going to say you talk about it. But I'm going to say this here, is that Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton has been a benefit in the changing of the situation of blacks and black African-Americans here in the United States.
Hold on. If me and you playing chess, right, and I send you a pawn, right, and you go after that.
I don't know nothing about playing chess, but go ahead.
I don't either, but I'm just kidding.
I can feel.
If I send you a pawn in a game, right, and you go after that, if you go after that pawn and try to take him out, meanwhile you leave your king open. And I go and I say, checkmate, I got your king, crown me. I basically got you. And what I'm saying is when Jesse and Al come in and focus on, okay, we want more people getting these jobs in Ferguson. We want more of this. We want you to have more. Give us 10% of the project. The other 90% still white now. But give us 10%, at least some black people getting something. You got a few black people getting something. Create a black elite, which is that's an old strategy. A black elite is an old strategy. They've been doing that for hundreds of years. So these guys come in and keep us sidetracked. Meanwhile, we're not focusing on the main power, which is money, getting business.
Well, who is the we, Alabama?
Black people. We don't. We think, Al, we actually get in
all
line.
All black folks, brother, listen. All black people don't think alike. You talked about a few here a few minutes ago. Let me ask you something. Either one of you want to get involved in a chicken egg business in Nigeria? I can get you in contact with the people. You can get involved in it.
Well, that's actually the Chinese run that business over there. Me and Michigan been talking about doing that.
No, Chinese don't run that business in Nigeria. That ain't what I asked you. I asked you, did you want to get involved
in
that business?
Bianchi, let me finish. I didn't say that you can't get involved. I said that the business is dominated by that.
I can hook
you
up. I can give you the hookup. Are you either one of you interested?
Hell yeah, we interested. I'm gonna be honest with you.
You interested, Michigan man?
I'm interested in doing anything on the continent. That's what I'm doing now. So, of course, I'm interested in that.
Everybody's not interested in that.
That is correct.
I don't see why. Right. When black folks, I mean, when you talking about chicken, if you dominate, I mean, we don't have no chicken farms. All the chicken is rent. The Chinese are over there. They building this railroad over there right now. I just saw this like this morning.
Well,
here's what I'm telling you, and you know that Jesse and them know that Jesse's traveling all over the world. Jesse and Al, they know for a fact that the empowerment of black people as a massive group is going to happen with us doing the type of shit we need to do outside of America. Now, why won't they do that? They can't say they don't have the money.
But listen, that's not for everybody. What you should say is black business.
You said it there for the people. I know.
Well,
but you said it there for the people.
Well, if you are producing and manufacturing, where's your markets? Your markets got to have money to buy it, don't they?
That's correct.
So you mean to tell me that the places like the Urban League and the efforts that Jackson had made in order to get people a job, don't you see the value in that?
But listen, I didn't say that they never got anybody a job. I agree with you on that point. To me, they're doing what they're allowed to do.
No, they're doing probably what they want to do. How are we going to say they're doing what they're allowed to do? Ain't nobody keeping them from getting involved in these other things.
Wait, okay, hold on. So you're telling me, hold on, Jesse, Miski, Jesse Jackson, if Jesse was on CNN talking about economic empowerment, which is really the answer, nobody disagrees with that. This is a old answer. Everybody knows that's the real answer. Nobody talks about that. The only people you see talk about that is the conscious community. You don't really see a lot of people talking about, well, and that and some conservatives, too, but I'm just saying you don't see a lot of people.
You're really starting to hear y'all young people starting to talk about that, too.
And that's
good. Why is it? That's what I'm saying. Well, what happened, though? Why is it that we were talking about that?
Because you don't control the schools. That's where all that began.
Let me tell you who's going to be the most instrumental part in the liberation. The black community in America is done, so I'm not even talking about them. They're done. African Americans are done for the most part. The black rappers, you watch it over the next 50 years. Watch how instrumental they be in black liberation. You mark my words. Some brothers is getting down. They all overseas. They're getting down. And they're going to be an instrumental part in black liberation.
And they get ridiculed.
Civil rights leaders.
Because you got a lot of coon rappers, too. It's open. Like
civil rights leaders. Civil rights leaders served a need at the time.
And they're done. Preachers are done.
That generation, what I'm saying is there was a generation. It just looked like we were doing some things. You read the history. A.G. Gaston and all them different people, they was kicking ass, right? And all of a sudden, it seems like in the 70s, black folks, we just fell asleep as a people. We were under attack. We stopped thinking. We stopped having critical thinking skills, and we just started resorting to emotion. And now we're so matriarchal and ran by women to where we can't really – that's the thing. So now we got to come back to where we was in the 60s, as far as mentality-wise, even get back out there and start doing some of the stuff that we're talking about. Because we're so far
removed.
You got to
feel the need. That's why Elijah Muhammad was so successful. His organization was about 250,000. They had 250,000 in their group. They were the largest employer of black Americans in the 50s going into the 60s. No other employer was greater than them. But the only drawback they had is that they was disliked by Christians because they was Muslims. Now, the jobs and things like that, I think they hired their own, basically. That's because blacks in America, quote-unquote, are different. They are all not the same. They didn't come from the same place.
And that's going to be the death of them, too, because they don't have to be different. And they can politically be one if they wanted to. They have that ability, but they choose not to, and that's going to be the death of them.
Well, here's another point. I hear people say, and see, here's the deficiency in the people that say this because I think they're scared. They want 100% let's use an arbitrary number, 40 million. They won't, not, of course, that includes children under the ages of five and six. But let's throw that in. They want 40 million black folks to all stand up and raise their hand and say yes at the same time. Why don't you go with what you got?
That's correct.
The only thing that black folks have in common, it ain't the only thing, but one of the greatest things that blacks in America have in common is the economic markets that they consist of, that blacks themselves do not exploit. That is the travesty.
I've always been told, this is something I was told, my dad used to tell me, consumerism is, when I hear black folks say, well, man, we got all this buying power, consumerism is really a weakness.
It's not a weakness if you derive profits off of it, Alabama.
Well, yeah, if you take that money and use it in a way, then it's not a weakness. Then that's what
you suppose. That's why
hold on. When I flip houses, you have your consumer credit report, and when you go and get a commercial loan or borrow money, they don't put that on your consumer credit report because you're not consuming it, eating, sleeping.
Let me ask you a question. What are you
living? When you talk about investment, that's not even considered consumer at all.
Let me tell you what I'm talking about. Let me explain to you what I'm talking about. What do you live at? You live in a white community or a black community?
Mix.
Well, I spend the majority of my dollars in a black community, Alabama. So, therefore, all the profits that I derive from commercial construction during all the decades that I was involved in it has been spent, the majority, in black communities. That's why come I say blacks should exploit their own economic markets. Because
what you're saying makes sense, Pianki. And then I'm not trying to be funny. You have to explain that. I get that. I understand we should spend our dollars with each other.
Everybody don't understand it. I'm not just talking
part.
To you.
What I'm saying is we should not look at that as our only strength and say, well, if we just spend dollars in black businesses. No, we need to take what money we get, live on less than you make. Because I'm really learning about A.G. Gaston. This guy lived on 25 cents of every dollar. He didn't date women. He would chill. This dude, he was bound to be a millionaire because he had a certain mentality that I think he didn't spend his money.
But everybody can't do that.
We can't do that
smart,
now. You can't
can
do it
do
now,
it.
But you can do it if you're single. But you can't do it dating a woman. But you could do it single.
Yeah, well, I don't date. Well, you know, well, but I don't like to talk about myself. But you're absolutely right. I tell young people that they want to establish a savings behavior, a savings habit, where you save as much as 30%.
We got to hurry up, man. I mean, the dollar, when that dollar shift,
it's not going to hurt you. Within these shores, it's not going to bother you. We
I'm
going to
tell you like this. Hold on. When
that
the dollar shift, all this money that they print gets out and it starts dumping their money into the market and they start buying real assets, the more assets they buy, the more that money's in the market, these bankers and stuff, then stuff's going to start going way up. And the more stuff go up and black folks ain't got no skills to go out here and make no more than, you know, $25,000 a year, it ain't going to be that. It ain't going to, I'm telling you, it's people going to be hurting.
Well,
people
you
gonna
know,
be hurting,
the people
man.
Down there, the ladies, the people down there in the Florida Farm Workers Association, you got blacks down in Georgia with all those farm organizations, Southeast Farm Press. You got the Arkansas Land and Farm. They waiting on you. They got what you need. Come on down there and get it from them.
Get what?
Food.
I mean, I see what you're saying. I'm just telling you, man, I can see when things get bad in America, black people, we're not equipped for survival. I mean, we're not.
Well,
we don't have a lot of our women don't have the skills of survival. And I'm just saying, like, a lot of white folks, when you talk about this silver and gold, they ain't number white folks mostly got that silver and gold. Black folks ain't
then,
got no
Then that would
nothing.
Be a good that would be a good business for you, I, and Michigan, man. We need to get into the rice business down there. We need to get into the chicken business that this one sister is running
moving,
down there
man.
In Arkansas.
We moving, man. It takes time as a black man. Michigan, you know? Michigan gone.
And set up these set up the expand on what they got down there.
As a black man in America, Pionkey, as a black man in America trying to do business, especially doing what I do, I have to be clean cut. I can't in a certain way. I mean, you just have to have your stuff. Your ducks need to be in a row way more than even a black woman. I know black women don't want to hear that, but that's the truth. I mean, it's just harder for a brother in this day and age to get out here and you know, you can't go to the banks a lot of times like your white counterpart can. So it's harder. So I'm going straight cash out my pocket, living. I'm doing everything cash. I'm not going to the bank borrowing money.
Well, you
I'm
got the Minority Business Association. They out there to let the guarantee
man, look,
your loans
you sign
up
for these SBA loans and stuff. Hold on, you sign
and
up
I'm
for
I'm not
the
talking
SBA
about
loan?
SBA. I said the Minority Business Council.
Well,
Minority Business Council out there.
Let me tell you something. Whoever you're talking about, I'm going to tell you 9 times out of 9, you're going to come in there, and they're going to say, okay, let me pull your credit report. I need this. They're going to be just like a bank. In fact, a lot of these other organizations that's outside of banks that try to help you get money, a lot of times you done got turned down by the banks. That's why you're going to these organizations. So it's not as easy as people
well,
think.
Well, you
now,
got
that,
certain
that, hold
banks.
On, what you don't hear from me is excuses to sit on your ass and not get out here and do something. I'm still doing something right now as we're talking. I'm real optimistic. But I'm just being realistic as far as what lies before me. That's why I differ with Tracy and Jeff. I'm realistic about what I face. I'm not fooled into thinking it's just summing it all up in a sentence and say this and that.
Well,
when
I agree with you.
Tracy
and them be saying some ridiculous stuff sometimes.
Nah, you can sit and look at the history and say, well, nah, you know, economically, black folks ain't just lazy now. There are reasons why black people don't own and control nothing. And it's not all just because all of us
right.
are lazy and just sit on our ass. It's just not like that. It's just not. Because I'm going to be completely honest with you. In any race, in any subculture of human beings, everybody's not going to be a business owner. Everybody's
and
not going to be.
The end
so,
of the conversation.
So the white people had their Carnegie, Rockefeller, and all that. We don't have that.